This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
Whatever I feel like I want.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. We kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No. Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy.
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
All right. With that, I welcome you to PFW in Progress. This is Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale. Is my mic on? Is it? I can't hear myself in the headphones. I can hear the music in it. I can't hear myself. All right. Well, there we go. Now I can hear myself. All right. What'd you do? You hit a switch?
Huh? It was there the whole time.
All right. Maybe I'm just going deaf. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on.
Tom Casale's here. Paul and Andy are coming. There's Andy and Paul. You know, what is this? You just blow in anytime you feel like
it? Talking to Tip. Tip's a great storyteller.
Hey, speaking of Tip. I came to a revelation on the way down here. Remember that a few months ago, or there was a rumor that Brian Urlacher was here and he was down walking. That was Mark Rosenthal, who looks just like Brian Urlacher walking with Tip.
It was Garen Veris.
No, it was a rumor.
Garen Veris, that was
no
here. That
Garen Veris does not look like Brian Urlacher.
That's why it's such a funny story, because the person thought Garen Veris was Brian Urlacher.
No, but Mark Rosenthal.
The person's an idiot, the source here.
Well, you know Mark works for community relations.
We know Mark.
Doesn't he look like him? He looks like Urlacher.
Yes.
No?
I don't really see a tremendous resemblance.
Anyway.
More importantly, we were talking to Andre Tipp.
Well, hold on. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I just opened the show.
You guys late?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Only Andy can show up 5 minutes late and claim that you were late.
508-543-7482 is the phone number, and as always, we're here until 2 o'clock. What's your Andre Tippett story?
Tippett was telling Paul and I about how he was very, 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 very close to going to Northeastern.
Really?
And we were getting the whole stale
on
his recruiting trip.
He was being recruited, and on his recruiting trip, it happened to coincide with the blizzard of 78.
He
was
stuck
in
for
Boston
for
5 days.
We may have never known who Andre Tippett is.
Right.
You know, I like to look at it in a whole different light.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We would know
Northeastern. But these two would be a national power now. Right, everybody would know who they are.
Right. First year, Paul looked up the records. The first year, they went 6-5. Tip goes, oh, yeah.
I would have given him
four more wins. I'm coming off the edge, tomahawking the ball, guys scooping it and score, and he said I would have changed the whole program.
Well, you know, you had Sean Jones, Dan Ross, who came
Dan
from.
Ross
was
the
captain
of
that
team.
Yeah. Would have been his first year. And Keith Willis was a probably about an eight or so year career in the NFL. He was on that team as well.
I think we should
have Mike Long, Joe Cunningham.
Darren Jordan may have played
Reggie Lewis
for that team as well, and he played for the Niners for a little bit. But Dan Ross is a pretty household name, not just around here because he's a local guy, but
boring.
Full record for most receptions.
Right.
Actually, that was tied by Deion.
It's a fun game to play. Would we never know who Andre Tippett was, or would Northeastern be a better program?
I think if you're as good as Tippett is,
you know who Andre Tippett was, regardless of where he went to school.
Yeah.
I think.
If you're that good, he would have transferred after 2 years.
Like the Tupu.
That's probably true.
All right, Paul's just...
Take City.
Yeah. No, nothing to say. All right, so we got some news.
Story.
Eric Warfield has joined the team.
Boring!
Yeah. And Mel Mitchell, and I think that's a great pickup.
Mel Mitchell?
Yeah.
Why? What do you know about Mel Mitchell?
I just think you need more guys with the name Mel. That's it. I think as many guys as you can have named Mel on your team, that's a good thing.
And how many do they have?
Don't tell
one
can play.
You know? But, special teams for Mel Mitchell.
Yeah.
Warfield, if he can straighten his act out, he, at one time he was supposed to be pretty good, right?
Yeah, well, according to him, it was everyone else on the defense, not him.
Right, so now this is another Dwayne Starks, perhaps?
I didn't come away from the interview impressed. What you read in the Boston media today, you think the guy's Mother Teresa, for Christ's sakes, but...
Mother Teresa, for Christ's sakes.
But she can't play corner either.
I don't know. He seemed to put a lot of blame on his former coordinators and former teammates, and I that didn't come across well for me in his first interview with the Boston media. Of course, no one wrote about it, so who would know?
Well, he'll have to prove it on the field. He comes from a Kansas City Chiefs team that really
lit up.
Wasn't really doing well on defense, so something was wrong there.
So it's 2 years in a row that they needed some defensive help, and they go to the Chiefs and get Monty Beisel and Eric Worf.
I don't think this is a terrible signing, though. I mean, off-field issues aside, I mean, he says that he's putting it behind him or whatever, and, you know, we can only take the guy at face value, but... On the field, I don't think he's a terrible player. I don't think he's a shutdown corner or a guy who's going to come in here and set the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. But we talked about this a little bit last week. Look at all of the cornerbacks, the experienced cornerbacks they brought in last year, and it still wasn't enough. I don't think that, you know, there's not a huge financial commitment to Warfield. Reports today about $1.5 million total for 2 years, something like that.
Yeah, if he's with the team.
No signing bonus, so you can cut him immediately and not, you know, really suffer any consequences. I don't see where this is. I don't really see a downside. It's not a bad signing.
But it's
another one of those second and third tier corners.
Well, I agree.
Who knows?
And I mean, on the surface, I would be surprised. I really would. I'd be surprised if he supplants anybody as a starter. I would. I think that even though I don't think that the cornerback situation by any means is settled here, you know, I think between Hobbs and Samuel and, you know, probably Gay.
Right.
I would be surprised if he takes a starting job away from one of those guys.
I would, too. But
the funny thing
but
I thought,
if he can make the team and contribute, that's
the funny thing I thought,
depth,
talking
too.
With him yesterday, he said, some guys learn the first time, some guys learn their second, their third. For me, it took four. It reminded me of my cousin Vinny when they go third time's a charm.
Third time's a charm?
Well, no, for me, six times was a charm.
When he finally passed the bar.
So, all right. And Mel Mitchell is really a special teamer.
Really?
He's never started a game.
If you can't crack the starting secondary in New Orleans, man, either they just missed something in you or...
But that's okay, too, as long as he is a solid special teamer. I'm sure that they didn't sign him to compete as a safety.
Just for depth of the safety.
Yeah, I think that he's a special teamer who happens to play safety.
Yeah, my guess is
Gerard Cherry.
My guess is they were watching NFL Europe and said, we better bring in another safety here.
Bubba, not doing so well?
Didn't have a good game against
not
Drew
a
Henson.
Good game, no.
Which, by the way, you called Drew Olsen Drew Henson in one of your stories, by the way.
I called who?
Drew Olsen.
I did?
Drew Henson.
Oh.
What?
I caught it, though.
What happened with Mr. Ventrone?
Yes, I did.
He had coverage on a play, and he didn't look back at the ball.
He didn't cover.
The guy came back and caught it. They ran the ball all over him. I didn't see him all day.
Really?
I mean, he was just getting blocked all over. It was not one of his better performances.
That's disappointing.
And especially since Ryan is the best team in NFL Europe.
And they're now his team is 0-2, right?
No, they're 1-2.
1-2.
Ryan is undefeated.
So Henson had a big game?
He didn't have a big game, but
I saw the stats.
He just threw like kind of short to medium range routes.
That's the NFL nowadays, Tom.
He's 10 for 21 or something.
They pounded the ball down their throat.
That's not the NFL nowadays.
They pounded the ball down their throat.
10 for 15 for like 68 yards.
Yeah, he only had like 148 yards passing or something like that.
Just horrendous.
And I saw his one touchdown was just kind of like a sidearm short end zone 5-yard pass.
It was your basic NFL Europe game. You didn't come away impressed with anybody. Yeah.
All right. I mean, really, the floor is open. There's a lot of topics we can talk about. We can talk about T.O. going to Dallas. We can talk about Eric Moles, Patriots missing out on Moles. I don't know how serious they got with him, but he's now a Texan.
Fourth or fifth round draft pick.
It's
that's
a fifth round. That's what I hear.
Are you surprised?
But that's not the issue, though. The issue never was...
No.
What the Bills wanted. It's the contract that now you have to pay.
But the money wasn't very big either.
But here's the thing is, regardless of the contract, for the Bills themselves, they don't care about the contract.
Right.
But you're going to pay the guy.
That's not part
of my compensation.
That's only the team that has to worry about
I'm very surprised that that's all he could garner. fourth or a fifth round pick, and we're here. And you said you're here to his fifth.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that that's all they could get for him.
That's stealing for the Texans. Oh, you add Reggie Bush.
It's not so much
that team?
Paul. It's I'm surprised, or maybe I'm not surprised, but that's what they were willing to just let him go for.
Yeah,
they just wanted him out.
I mean, the amount of time that went by, you know, several weeks.
Could they have got a little bit more if they had waited? Perhaps, but I don't think they wanted to wait.
Obviously, that's what the market was bearing. I mean, I don't really think...
Right now, but come beginning of training camp, that might be a fourth or a third.
Well, no, I thought they were going to cut him.
I don't know. I
thought the bottom line was Eric Moulds was out. If they didn't get a trade, they were going to cut him.
Well, if you're going to cut, if teams know that, why not wait?
Hence the fifth round pick. If you want him, we'll give you a fifth. We're not going higher because we know you're going to cut him sooner or later.
And I would,
but at least we now have the right to get him without competing.
And so that's.
And I would have not cut him if that was if they really thought that that was the situation. Then I wouldn't have cut him, and I would have said that we're going to hold on to him. I'm not just going to give him away. I would have done what Belichick would have done. Belichick would have. Everybody knew. That Belichick could not, or theoretically could not coexist with Drew and with Brady in 2002. Everybody knew they were going to have to release him.
Right.
Right?
But they said we're fully prepared to have Bledsoe on the roster.
Release him. Yeah. Everybody knew they would probably have to, but they said we're not going to do it. And ultimately they got a first-round pick for him. That's what I would have done with Moulds. Now, I don't think Moulds could have gotten you a first-round pick.
But maybe a third.
But I think other teams, too, in the league know who's, like, if Belichick says it, it might be different than if Marv Levy says it.
Evidently they came out and said that we were going to cut him.
Right?
So they didn't even try to play blind.
We're all thrilled.
Well, speaking of the Bills, speaking of the Bills, you know, they're talking about the short list of teams that possibly could go to L.A., and as we talked about months ago, they're on the top of the list. And, in fact, I guess Huey Lewis, what's the name of the owner up there?
Ralph Wilson.
Ralph Wilson.
Close.
I don't know. What.
There's a stadium named after him. You've been to it a number of times. You talk about him all the
even
time.
Hopefully this year when we find out tomorrow at 2 o'clock what the schedule is, hopefully this year we'll find out that trip is early
right,
in the year.
We'll talk about that, too. But he issued a press release talking about some of the things going on up there and just came right out and said, this is tough. We're in a tough situation. He's appealed to the governor of New York, Pataki. But if I'm the governor of New York, man, I got two other teams. I don't know if I'm going to really try to bail out the Bills.
Huey Lewis, Andy.
Speaking of that.
I wonder if they'll be able to make any money in L.A.
What?
I wonder if the market in L.A. will bear any money.
I'm not sure he'll make it to L.A.
There'll be no revenues to be garnered there.
Fred, would it be inappropriate for us to have like a little game on this show, like a death pool? For certain members of the league that may or may not pass away in the very near future.
You mean literally pass away?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking Ralph Wilson, Al Davis, Marv Levy.
You could do that.
That Levy's in pretty good shape. I've seen him working
out.
Sounded
off like I thought he was going to be. We could do that.
And there are some teams that, I mean, it could dramatically change the NFL. If Ralph Wilson's out and some young gun, or I don't know how it would transpire, but if they
Daniel Snyder of Buffalo?
Right. Gets in there, they move it, or Al Davis, and they suddenly start changing the way the Raiders do business.
Sure.
And
well, you know, there's also talk about expanding to 34 teams.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
There's talk that Davis might want back in with L.A. because Oakland.
He's the best.
He believes he has the rights to the
Oakland
whole West Coast. So, you know,
Oakland didn't keep their promise to
shut Seattle up. It's too far west.
Anything's possible with Al.
Was Oakland supposed to build him a new stadium or something? He said they didn't keep their promise, and now he wants back in L.A.
Right.
And they ruined
the stadium.
Never really wanted to leave L.A., and he...
Yeah.
All this stuff.
Well, there was all kinds of stuff, and he wasn't even allowed to sell tickets up until this year in Oakland.
Right.
Part of the deal that he got to move back to Oakland.
And it's made no one happy because it ruined the stadium for the A's. I read complaints about how the football changes hurt them in terms of the stadium structure and fans and all that. So
good.
He's ruined it for everyone.
So
and now he's going to go back to L.A.
so
ruin that, too.
So the Bills are crying poor, and they should, because it's a tough market up there now.
That's just poor.
Yeah. You mentioned this word that the schedule's coming out tomorrow.
NFL Network.
Live
2 p.m.
on the NFL Network.
Well, course, as soon as that comes out, we'll have it on Patriots.com. And if we can get it a little bit early,
if Fred can pull some strings for us, I'm not
saying. See if we can get it up there as soon as possible. Now, I have an idea. I have an idea with the schedule. Okay.
There we go.
Wait a minute. You have an idea of what our schedule is
going to
be?
No, I have an idea of what the NFL should do with the team schedule. You know, right now, it's not really based on strength of schedule anymore. We know who the Patriots' opponents are going to be until like 2009, with the exception of two opponents, which are based on how you finish.
Right.
But otherwise, we know who the opponents are for the next three years. So that's kind of boring, I think. And one of the reasons why they did this is because they want to have a clean rotation. They want to have teams playing each other within a span.
More frequently.
Right. And I'm saying, forget that, okay?
Forget you, Joe Boo.
Let's have, you know, you play the teams in your division twice. That's a given. But after that...
Thank you for saying forget, by the way.
Right.
Because I thought you were going somewhere else, too.
Oh,
and you've been known to do that.
Right.
More
beyond that,
else.
You have a certain amount of teams within your own conference that you play and a certain amount of teams within the other conference that you play every year, and it's picked out of a hat. Okay, that becomes an event in March where they actually, you find out from this...
Guy pick, never stopped.
From this, from this sort of lottery, you
it's
find
like
out...
P.T. Barnum. You
really find
is.
Out every year in March who your opponents are other than your own division. Then... In April, they actually come out with the times and dates.
Well, let's take
and
it,
I think that it becomes more of an
Fred,
event.
But to be honest with you, that idea isn't really that stupid. It's not as stupid as I thought it was going to be when you started talking.
No.
Well, let's take
and
it one
I don't
step
think
further.
You have to worry about parity because the salary cap and all that
oh,
stuff takes care of that.
Now.
Let's
all,
take it
yeah.
one step further and you can trade opponents.
No.
So wait not? A minute. How do you pick up?
I want to trade a Cowboys for a Giants.
Explain. I'm intrigued. I'm not... blowing you off. I want to explain the process.
Well, I don't know exactly how it works, but it's random.
There's
in other words, it's random.
There's names in the hat.
Other than the two
so
games that you have against...
Does one team pick out of the hat and get all 16 opponents? Do you go in order?
Well,
I mean,
well, I don't
do
think
you
really
how
thought
you
this through.
No, this
sure,
no.
I'm asking.
Those details can be worked out, but the idea is...
Such ridiculous questions, are they, when you don't have
those
the answer?
Those minor things
question.
Can be worked
think
out later. Just get a hat.
The idea is that... You really don't even know who you're playing other than your own division until March, and it becomes like an event. You watch it on TV. And
on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the NCAA pairing.
And you know, because it's random, you might end up playing Denver 4 years in a row.
It's not
well,
an
that
awful
happens
idea.
Anyway.
It's not an
you
awful
know?
Idea. Because like Colt fans are always saying, why do we always have to go to New England?
And right.
Patriots fans are complaining why every year the schedule was slanted against them.
Right.
It's a conspiracy theory.
You know, and there was a time when it was strength of schedule that they wanted to promote parity. Well, that's gone now, and now they're just trying to promote teams visiting and have you know playing each other on a regular basis. But screw that. I think it's a lot more fun to just have it random because you know as it is now, you say, oh, we have a weak schedule, and it never turns out that way. Oh, we have a strong schedule, never turns out that way anyway. Exactly. So why not do it random? Why not make it an event? You know.
It would be funny, though, with the Indies thing, if you take it a step further and you say, like, we're going
to
trade
I think
trade,
be able
trade
to
opponents. Because you imagine, like, yeah, we'll trade you, you know, we'll trade you out of Denver for Houston, you know.
Oh.
Denver has, I mean, Houston
all the
has
respect.
Houston has the big bulletin board material.
Right.
They think that we're a pushover.
Right. Well, that's why that
and
would
you,
never
then
happen.
Then you could create, like, the controversy between the head coach and the owner, because the owner might be trading for a payday versus
now,
you know, the head coach who's looking
it,
to get in the
take
playoffs.
It like college. Take it like college, and you can pick, like, everybody has to be on a primetime game. So that can be, like, your homecoming game. You know, and you pick the opponent that you want to play in prime time. They think we're a pushover. They have us coming in.
This is the kind
of
like the Patriots did with the Jaguars in the playoffs.
Should have been the commissioner of the XFL, and maybe it'd still be going.
Exactly.
This is the kind of stuff they should have been doing.
Well, maybe. Anyway, so that's my idea for the schedule. And then I hear
it works pretty good.
I hear the Eagles are going to be playing the Cowboys on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
that's what the boys are telling me.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
That's the Monday night game.
Yeah,
it's Christmas night.
So that's. That'll be fun. We know why they did that.
Plus, the flex schedule is in effect.
Flex
all the
schedule.
Last 7 weeks of
the
season. The
last 7 weeks, every game is going to be, except for the Monday night game, will be announced at 1 o'clock.
Or
so 1 o'clock.
1 or 4.
Oh, okay.
It'll be a normal Sunday schedule.
And they'll decide what the night
within
game
12
is.
Days before, they or at least 12 days before, they will tell people you've been selected to switch. And
now, is
also,
that just the Sunday night?
Yeah. And they'll also
not Monday night.
I don't believe so. I believe it's just the Sunday, the big one, the NBC game. And they'll also tell you if you've been eliminated as soon as they eliminate you. So, for example, if the Jets start the season at 0-6,
right,
they'll call really the Jets and say,
you're done.
All your games are going to stay as is. You're not getting moved to the primetime game and
oh,
hang
okay.
up.
Okay.
When do you think we'll get that call?
Late
September,
early
October.
Well,
Fred,
Why don't they call them now?
Don't lump me into that category. They think that they're not making the playoffs and stuff.
Oh, come on.
No way.
Come on.
I agree. No way they make the playoffs.
There's no way they don't make
right.
the playoffs. Not in that division.
You can make that call, and, you know.
I think you guys are blind. Because
I thought Fred was getting out his wallet. He wanted me to bet.
My phone's vibrating.
It's as much of
a. What does it mean when, like, your hip vibrates without the phone there? But, like, every once in a while, like, I get this, like, buzzing feeling through my hip. What is that?
I don't know.
Old age?
No, I don't know what it is.
You playing football tonight?
It's a weird feeling. What?
You playing football tonight?
No.
I don't feel very good.
I'm out of that league.
Okay.
The rules, I don't like, you know, no count. What is that? I mean, who do they think we are? You know? Rushing with
sure
no count? All that does is...
It was a simple question.
I heard guys were getting killed on the line of scrimmage last week. That Nara from IT got blown back about 10 feet.
I heard
the
I have a jerk on my team.
Are you playing?
I can't. I have to have surgery on my legs.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it on the air?
Is it
a family? Everyone's listening is part of the family?
Nah, well, I have a condition called compartment syndrome, and I'm having surgery. I have to have surgery on one leg this year and one leg next year, despite the fact I already had surgery on both legs a few years ago.
Well, does it have anything to do with the fact you go into the gym and lift about 1,100 pounds on
that
machine?
No, it's got nothing to do with that.
Then why do you...
I can't run, though.
Oh, you can't run. No,
if I run, my legs will get all swelled up.
You ever
up
see
hard.
Him? He goes in the gym. He lies on his back and lifts like a small truck over his head with his legs.
He's a strong guy.
Maybe you should work out more and watch him less.
Yeah, but after he does that, then he walks around. And see, you don't even work out anymore.
Yes, I do. I go to a real gym.
That's a rumor. That's a rumor. We don't know that for sure.
Gym.
I love the way he defines a real gym with men in it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'd prefer to look at good-looking girls when I work out.
Then you can't go to the gym that we get the membership at because there's not a single good-looking girl there.
Except for Fred's girl.
Except for Fred's big boob stripper girl.
Yeah, right. She's about 60.
I don't know why you like her, but you like her.
He gets all mad. He's like shaking his head.
He has this fascination with this girl, and he projects it on me.
That's what he does.
You know?
I've never worked out with her. You have.
I've worked out with her.
Boy, I saw you two squatting together one day on the Smith machine.
I'll tell you one thing. That person who sent us the email said we shouldn't be talking about journalism and we should be talking about Patriots football is going to be madder than heck right now.
Oh, we've got 2 hours.
Well, I agree with the journalism stuff. I hate talking.
Well, you know, you might think that, but I already have 2 emails about that right now.
I know them. They're ripping us.
No, are they?
I read them before the show.
No, I'm not talking. Brendan Hughes, who had a long thing about you, I'm not going to read. Yeah. But I thought it was a very good email.
I don't get these emails.
I don't either.
But they're web radio.
Brendan Hughes had a very long, well-written... email. It was well thought out.
How many things in there he's claimed that I said that I didn't say?
Oh, there were some things, absolutely, that you didn't say, but, you know.
Bottom line is the main point was accurate, right?
Right.
No.
Okay.
No, the main point is not.
Oh, man.
Well, I think his main point is.
That I'm like Ron Boyce.
No,
is that accurate?
His main point.
I have an agenda. I have a biasness in my writing.
No, his main point was that, and I'm not necessarily saying it's you. But his main point is that there's a lot of writers who feel that being negative is being objective.
But that's not. I don't feel like that.
I didn't say that. But I think
he's
right.
That's the whole premise of the email.
I think he's right. I think there's a lot of guys who go out of the way not to praise the Patriots because they're afraid that they'll be viewed as a homer and not being objective.
And I think there are many more writers in this market who do the opposite and are afraid to criticize the Patriots because they're afraid they're going to fall out of favor with the organization.
In the last 4 years, it's been hard to criticize them.
I understand that.
Prior to that, I think there was a ton of
criticism. I understand that, but are you telling me in the last 4 years,
right,
there have not been one instance where anything could possibly have been questioned?
Sure, if you want to nitpick.
For the most part.
If you want to nitpick, but the body of work is pretty good.
You cut your defensive captain six days before the season.
Fred, look.
Let's nitpick.
And it was a good move.
But you can criticize it at the time. I mean, that's a major
Richard
move.
Seymour isn't playing fullback.
What?
How come Richard Seymour isn't
playing fullback? Because it's the offseason.
But there's an example, okay? All right, just as an example, we all agree that the body of work is outstanding, and that's, you know, They have a track record of success, and that's what we all cover.
Right.
That's what we all write. I mean, I'm not saying that these guys shouldn't be writing a majority of positive articles. We all do. I can count on one hand the amount of negative articles the three of us have written about
this. Absolutely. Count on no hands how many I've written.
Well, yeah, Tom's case you can count with zero because he's never written anything negative.
So, right,
every
Tom,
story ends with, because they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and that's
that
enough.
Gives him a chance.
And
okay.
And I'm right.
But like, that's an example. Now, Richard Seymour getting hurt at fullback, I think people are afraid to criticize that, for example, because they're afraid of falling out of favor.
Well,
if you do
I'm
that,
not
then
sure
you're
that
the risk of Bill
I'm not,
being mad at you.
No, but I'm not sure that I've read it or heard it, but I've heard a lot of people criticize.
No one asked
him
a question
a lot
about
of people
it at a press conference.
And
no one asked
it's
him
never
anything
been
about it.
Questioned in a press conference. Now, obviously,
never.
We don't.
Well, but that's the writer's fault.
Right.
Right. That's what
we're
saying,
talking about. That's what we're saying.
Just like I think it's ridiculous that Borges would say that Belichick, you know, did a disservice for not showing up to the owners' meetings last week. I think that's ridiculous. I think it's equally ridiculous that Ty Law's not at practice 3 days in a row and no one asked where he is.
But they're afraid. But why doesn't Ron Borges come to a press conference and ask that question? Why is Richard Seymour playing fullback?
Right.
Why doesn't he do that?
Why doesn't one of the beat writers do it? That's their job, not Ron
Borges. I know, but it's, you know, why isn't anyone doing that?
I mean, why isn't a beat writer doing it? Why isn't Jerome Solomon or Mike Reese? Why is it Mike Felger or John Tomasi? Why isn't Tom Curran? Why aren't they right? They're the ones that are there every day.
Yeah, I don't know the answer, but I know that I'm absolutely sure that there are a lot of writers who feel if I go too much to the positive, I'll be viewed as a homer and not objective.
And I think
so
that you might be right about that with Borges and Cafardo.
Yeah.
And I think that the opposite
that was
is
the whole
true
discussion
with,
last week.
But I think the opposite is true on the positive side with a lot of the other guys. They're afraid to go too far to the negative because they're afraid if they do so, they fall out of favor. Because I think
it's
a lot of these guys...
It's not just that, Paul. It's that they don't have enough confidence in their own knowledge to take that stance.
No.
Oh, I think it's absolutely true.
That could be a part of it.
My point is this, and I'm not going to call anybody specifically out here, but I think that there are some writers here that talk to Bill, talk to Scott, off the record, as small and as minute as it might be, but they do have some sort of in with the organization that gives
and
them
some stuff.
They don't
want to screw that up.
And they're afraid of screwing that up.
Well,
and I think
be.
That's just as wrong as the other side.
Yeah.
Now, other people would disagree with me on that, and Brandon would be one that would disagree with me, but I think that either one, I don't sit here, I don't think that you're only balanced if you're negative. I think that's ridiculous. I think you're balanced if you're balanced, if you look at things from both sides and analyze it.
All right.
That's all. But I don't really like talking about
it. Let's get to some emails so that we can't be accused of not talking about what our listeners want to talk about.
1:45. Get to it.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And in case anyone around the world who's listening is interested, it's snowing in Foxborough. February 5th.
By the way, what's going on in the stadium?
What do you mean?
It's like game day traffic out there.
Oh, they got all... They're doing all the recruiting for the day of game workers and stuff.
Oh.
So it's like a big job fair type thing, I think.
Oh, I see.
A lot of people coming in.
Seriously, there's thousands of cars out there in the parking lot.
It's all people interviewing to work at the stadium. One of the
good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
We could probably move on now.
let's see. Justin writes in. And he's our first emailer at
webradio.com.
No, but
only one guy hated me.
He's from Alaska.
Well, at least two.
He's writing from Alaska.
Except for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a lot goes on in Alaska, huh?
How do you know?
I don't know.
Do you know that?
It seems like that's the perception.
I'll bet you there's as much that goes on in Alaska as Foxborough.
So that
I've never really accused Foxborough of having a lot going on.
I grew up on the Cape.
Not necessarily a booming metropolis.
I grew up on the Cape, okay? And everyone thinks, you know, in the Cape in the winter, shutters closed and nothing's going on. People are, well, what do you do growing up on the Cape? The same thing you did in everywhere else as a kid, you know, except you do it at the beach.
And you're rich.
No, you're not rich. Believe me, not everyone that lives on the Cape is rich.
Finish it off with a lobster and a steak.
No, but it's...
Some chowder.
You know, where you live is where you live, and there's things to do no matter where you live.
It's very
including
deep.
Alaska.
Where you live is where you live.
Yeah. No matter where you are, that's where you end up.
It is what it is.
Who's the prospect from Alaska, Tom?
Trajan Langdon.
That's the first name that came into my head.
Oh, there's a
I know there is, and I can't remember.
One of the big prospects.
Notes.
That was
the Boise State, isn't it?
Darren College.
You got to talk into the mic, Tom.
Durham College.
Yeah.
From Alaska. Isn't Kurt Schilling as well?
From Alaska?
I'm getting a lot of blank stares, so I'm going with no.
How's
Gary,
the,
can you get on that?
How's the film study doing going for the draft?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, how's yours going?
What's the matter, Paul?
I haven't started.
Have you pumped our podcast?
I was just about to mention.
Because they are tremendous.
I was just about to mention the Patriots podcasts are in full force. Every Tuesday, there is the Draft Prospect Review, and that's available on demand on Patriots.com. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Then, of course, Wednesday we have this show. Then on Fridays is the Roster Review, where they look over the current state of the Patriots roster.
And we're also giving them a little bonus, a couple extra Draft Prospect Review podcast.
Now, yesterday you put up a podcast. What was on yesterday's podcast?
Linebackers. A lot of linebackers.
You reviewed the linebackers.
Yeah, I had the audacity to get excited about it, and Paul made fun of me.
Okay.
He knocked over the microphone.
I did. I was getting a little.
That's what I made fun of, Fred. As usual, Andy Hart, does not necessarily depict the events of what actually transpired. He knocked over the microphone. And I made fun of him for
that. Fred, you can promote Patriots.com, too. There is a Patriots.com that I actually write for. And if you go there now, there's a draft story right now that'll tell you why Darnell Bing and Ashton Yobuti stink.
Okay.
Yobuti.
Oh, Tom. When Tom was watching the Darnell Bing footage.
Somebody going to sue him now?
All he kept saying is, that's a highlight? Touchdowns? Giving up touchdowns is a highlight? This guy stinks.
I said he stunk before I watched that, though.
He did, but it definitely reinforced it.
When are you going to do interviews like I asked you to?
I was going to ask Andy.
Mel Kiper and those guys.
I call him.
We are trying to
let's
get...
let's go.
It's Mayock we were supposed to try to get, right?
Mike Mayock?
I don't know what trying means. I think Andy opened up a window and yelled out Mike Mayock's name.
Anybody know
that's
Mike Mayock's
available? Since we don't have any windows here at Gillette Stadium.
I didn't know it was snowing. I had to learn it from Paul.
Yeah. Born in Anchorage, Kurt is one of 8 Alaskan-born.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Anchorage,
thank you.
I didn't shoot you down.
And is Darren College the other guy? Can you look him up? DarynCollege.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Because that was the talk, because there's not a ton of famous professional athletes from Alaska, because not much goes on there. Because
he played at Boise State.
All right, speaking of Alaska, let's get finally to Justin's email. He says, bullet points for a fast-moving show. So I'm a Pats fan like all of you from the start, which means I've watched Matt Kavanaugh throw the ball and cringed. I remember John Stevens get his 1,188, crying like a baby in 85 and 96. So, of course, being alive for a dynasty is or was wonderful. We Pats fans appreciate and are living it up. I think I brought more Super Bowl stuff than I have equity in my house. And now that time marches on, I'm hearing from some, not all fans, and some of you, it sounds of mutiny because we are losing some of our dynasty and love players. Time marches on, and we can't have this same roster for another 3 Super Bowls. It's with a heavy heart that Adam, Willie, etc. leave, but we aren't the Mud Hens yet. Yes, these are talented people, but with today's NFL, it's going to happen. We are Patriots fans, are we not? Not Patriots fans when we have people we like, Paul. Don't get me confused with the people who don't care who the Pats have on their roster. I want the best we can get, but sometimes we won't have them. See the Pats in 87 and 92. I didn't want BB in 2000 because we just got off the Pete Carroll experiment, and I wanted someone newer, but I was wrong, and I've come to trust Belichick and Pioli. Let's give them some time to get what they want in the roster. Have some faith, not blind fan faith, but historical back faith, that they know what they're doing. When we start losing over and over again, then we need to move on. Just wanted to say that not all fans are leaving the ship, and no, I'm not only good Pats news guy. No, we would have not won the Super Bowl last year, and I think unless some changes are made this year, we'll need one more year to get it down. Then in 07, I think we can keep up the good work, and it's okay for some writers to not like Belichick or the Pats as long as their articles are factual. Side note, as a longtime and PFW subscriber, I'm going to be in Foxborough in May. I was wondering if the pro shop will be open. Yes, it will. And what are the odds of a Pats fans from far away getting to see the field? I've been to 3 Pats games, but all away, and I'd love to see the field. Anyway, let me know.
You can see the field from there, right? Through the gates?
You actually can. You can see the field, but Andy will escort you around if you give us a call.
I was going to say, contact Fred when you're in town.
Give us a call before you're coming, and we'll arrange for Gary to meet you at the front.
Email.
Darren College attended North Pole High School in Alaska.
All right.
So not only is from Alaska, he's from the North Pole. I like that.
I thought the North Pole was not in Alaska.
Well, no, there is a North Pole, Alaska, and we actually had
one of our
initial PFW subscribers from the North Pole, Alaska. So I told the late Will McDonough of the Globe, I said, Will, we have a subscriber from the North Pole, but I left out the Alaska part. And he put it in his column.
Oh. Talk about making chicken salad.
I'm the one who
chicken.
Partial
this
stories.
Is it right here.
That's an example of fair and balanced reporting.
We have a subscriber from Rome.
You're going to get
like Rome, Nebraska.
You're going to get partially butt kicked if you spray that thing one more time.
What is
by the rest of us?
Stop. He's got this like incense thing that he keeps spraying.
Do you have any idea how bad it smells?
Stop like that. What?
Like a creamsicle.
Oh, it's awful. Awful. It's sickening.
Finger and orange.
Stop spraying that.
Who farted?
That we had that around when Brian Moore used to be here, but
I
want to
know who
anymore.
Cut the
well,
cheese.
Actually, Andy's not too bad at that himself. All right, Robert is from Bowie, Maryland, and he says a recent website, ProFootballTalk.com, said there was a chance that the Pats would go after Seattle kicker Josh Brown and give Seattle a poison pill contract, and we would only have to give up a seventh round pick. Any truth to that?
I think it was
Josh
also,
Brown is a restricted free
that.
Agent.
I read that story. It sounded more like speculation to me. It seemed like speculation.
Yeah, and I think it's tough. I mean, I think anytime you go after a restricted free agent, it's tough because you got to offer something
but
substantial.
The Patriots have done it.
But you have to
or
offer,
you do the stupid things that the league is now allowing.
Right.
Those stupid poison
they'd
pills.
Have to offer them a lot of
and
money.
Even to do that, you have to offer something substantial to, you know, to make it tough for the other team to not match it.
I mean, look what Burleson and Hutchinson
are making. You can say that the poison pill was in that Hutchinson thing, and it was. There's no doubt. But they still had to offer him way more money than a guard should get.
Right. But, like, the Burleson one isn't a real contract.
Right. It's a fake one.
So, I mean, you could do one of those where it's not a real contract. The kicker's
not
going to
get
42 years or whatever. You can make it a $25 million deal that's guaranteed if you sign him. But if I sign him, I pay him $5 million over the next 3 years and then cut him.
Right.
And he has impressive numbers. I looked at his numbers.
He's a good kicker.
Strong leg if everybody's looking for a guy who can, you know, kick 50-yard field goals like Vinatieri, quote-unquote, couldn't.
Didn't he start in Pittsburgh?
No, the guy in Houston, right?
That's Reed.
Josh Reed?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of. Okay.
Brown's probably got the strongest leg in the league.
Him. Yeah, he's not bad.
He's got a huge leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be he's better than Paul Edinger if you're looking for a real
but
replacement.
But he's going to want.
I looked up some of Paul Edinger's
not much
stuff,
less than what Vinatieri got.
I was shocked to see how many kicks from medium range Paul Edinger has missed. He misses,
that's
from,
his thing.
He misses from 30 to 39 yards probably more frequently than any
to me, that's a
kicker.
Sign of pressure.
I agree.
You can't handle the pressure.
When it's a 55-yarder, no one's expecting you to make
it,
so there's no pressure. I know that it seems like it's the opposite. It's like a guy throwing in a half quarter. No one's gonna yell at a guy for missing, you know, a 40-footer at the buzzer in basketball. But
right.
If you make it, you're the hero.
Right.
You know.
But if
no
you
pressure.
Miss a foul shot with no time,
exactly.
That's pressure. You know. All right. Jason says pretty dismissive last week. I heard the name Harrison spoken in the same context as Oakland's Tatum and Atkins, maybe in the extreme. Can you tell me the last time Harrison knocked someone out cold, if ever, and celebrated on the sideline after that? I agree. I don't think you put him in.
It was
him
a different game back then. You can't compare it.
I don't think that anybody...
That kind of stuff was legal back then.
If
it was legal now, Rodney Harrison would be doing it.
Yeah, but would he be celebrating over the guy's motionless body?
I mean, Rodney Harrison, first of all, I'm not comparing Rodney Harrison to Jack Tatum. I don't know who did... I mean, maybe one of us said something about Jack Tatum with George Atkinson in the same vein. I don't remember that, but I'm not claiming that it didn't, you know, it wasn't said. I don't think anybody here is putting Rodney Harrison in Jack Tatum's class here. Now, the other thing about the hit on Stingley, in my opinion, I've seen that play 1,000 times. I don't think there was anything that was overly dirty about that hit. Now, maybe his reaction, and I think, was deplorable.
Right. It's what happened after.
It's not necessarily what happened on the field, because no one knows on the field
what
the extent of a guy's injury is. But it's the deplorable actions after the fact that he never apologized to Stingley, never went to see him, didn't seem to care one bit.
Until he needed him.
And even interviews now, he still doesn't really seem to care about him.
Didn't he not contact until he wanted him for his book tour?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do
that's
some
exactly
publicity.
True. And Jason goes, they said, the fact that as Stingley was lying unconscious on the field, both Tatum and Atkinson were celebrating with high fives and dancing around in glee. That is far from what Harrison would do. But to make a fair comparison, all of you probably were in diapers, if even... there when that happened. So your understanding of that incident is from quite a distance.
No, that's not true at all.
That's
not, say, these three are pretty old.
Yeah, that's
and we're being dismissive, by the way.
Yeah. And the other thing is, though, it's, listen, this is ridiculous, because when we were asking who the dirtiest player in football was, I got three responses that said, you mean other than Rodney Harrison, and those were from Patriots. So don't sit there and tell me that Rodney Harrison's this great guy on the football field.
Yeah, I mean, to clarify Tom's point, in the Patriots locker room, among Patriots, they all said, we can't pick our teammates, we can't pick Rodney.
Rodney Harrison's probably, and this is a compliment, by the way, for him, is probably the meanest dude in the NFL, and he should be. And if he was back playing in the 70s when this kind of stuff was legal, you don't know how he would have reacted.
No.
And I love Rodney Harrison, favorite guy on the team by far.
I think he should be played that way.
Jason goes on to say, but as far as Borges goes, there are some points to make. He did write a rather interesting article about Givens and his signing with the Titans, but nowhere was it mentioned that Borges' present or past agent was Givens' agent Brad Blank. Is this not quite a conflict of interest and a fact that he should have mentioned? But again, it is the way he focuses on certain things and avoiding others that leads his readers to conclusions that are biased and basically not true. In his article about the NFL meetings, many times did he mention that Coach Belichick was not there at that breakfast and making a big deal of that fact. The fact that Bill Parcells was not there at the breakfast or any meetings and not mentioned led one to think that Coach B was the only one not in attendance. But again, that is his style, as was his Sunday piece on offensive lineman Neal and Charlie Casserly. To me, just another example of why I will hardly read his swill. Time to get off the negative bandwagon and look forward to a solid 06. So.
Well, he did just mention like eight pieces that Borges wrote.
The last three things that he wrote. He doesn't read his swill, but the last three things he wrote, he quoted in detail. I don't know.
Another email. I guess people do want to talk about it. Russ writes in, I wanted to respond to your comments regarding my email about Ron Borges I sent you last week. First, I respect everyone's loyalty to fellow members of the media. It is important to stick up for your counterparts. With that said, one gentleman I mentioned that I must not like, Mike Reese, because of his columns are all positive. As one of you stated, Mr. Reese gets information and just puts it out there. I actually appreciate the latest info on the Pats. What Mr. Reese seems to do is just get the info out, whether it is positive or negative. The difference is with Borges as a columnist, he is stating his opinion along with getting the info to the readers. He has a right to his opinion. All I was stating is that I do believe he can give his opinion on the negative and the positive. There will always be some bias in a column. There is nothing wrong with that. Ron's columns seem to be heavy on the negative. Kevin Mannix, when he was writing his Patriots report card, would tell you the positive and the negative. I found this stuff entertaining and fair. Over the years, he ripped the Pats when they deserved it, but also praised them when they did well. This is what I mean by balance. I just think his personal feelings toward the organization come out in such a mean-spirited way. It is too bad. This has been a great ride for the Pats. When it is over, I hope Mr. Borges appreciates how special this time was. So, these guys are rolling their eyes.
Oh, you guys,
they don't want to hear it.
I don't know anything about
this. Stay away from
the
journalism bashing that everybody bashed us for last week. So
I really don't know. You're the ones that know. He knows more about Borges than I do. I'm new to here, so.
Oh, okay.
I listen to what you guys tell me.
let's see.
For washing your hands.
Two-timer writes in. He's talking. Wants to talk draft.
Nice.
Good, here we go.
He says, this is my revised second-round mock draft for the AFC East. Tell me what you think. I know it's different than Tom Casale's, but I'm interested in his opinion. I just love to hear you guys argue. Okay, well, I think he revised two-round draft. I think it's got to be first because he's got Mario Williams.
Okay, the first round.
So number.
Listen. It's his AFC East first two rounds mock draft.
Oh,
so
okay.
He has all the AFC East
two
teams
round,
that they're going to pick for
okay,
two rounds.
Okay, he needs a hyphen between two and round. Two round. All right? Anyway, thanks for clarifying that for me, Paul.
He's talking about punctuation again.
You
need a hyphen in
well,
there.
I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. Number four. The Jets pick defensive end Mario Williams, okay? At number eight.
A very plausible selection.
Yeah. At number eight, the Bills pick Michael Huff, defensive back.
I would say a plausible selection.
Yeah, I think they need to go interior line, but they seem to be going away from that for some reason. So, I don't know, but I think Huff is one of the top two or three defensive players in the draft.
You mean defensive interior line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Defensive.
Number 16, the Dolphins pick cornerback Antonio Cromartie.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that.
That's a reach.
I like Dante Whitner, the safety from Ohio State, because of his versatility. I think Saban can do a lot with him.
Number 21, Anyone want to guess?
The Patriots, I'd say D'Angelo Williams.
Bobby Carpenter.
I'll remove myself because I know.
Wide receiver Chad Jackson.
I could see it. Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I think you say that because you think he's okay, but do you think Belichick would pick a wide receiver?
I think Belichick does whatever he needs to do to win.
I think that, but I don't think that, given those parameters, no, I don't think he'll take a wide receiver.
I don't think he'll put
a wide receiver among the best 21 players in this draft.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Right.
Not a fact. Not a fact.
Number 29, Jets pick Nick Mangold, the center.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll go offensive line and defensive line in the draft.
They need centers and tackles. I mean, they lost Mawai and Fabini, and they're going to need to replace those guys.
Then they follow it up with their 35th pick, the Jets, cornerback Ashton Yobuti.
Ooh, Tom doesn't like him.
Well, that's about where he'll be drafted. I don't mind that he's got him in the early second round because that's where I think he'll probably be.
Number 42, the Bills pick tackle John McCargo. Anything?
Defensive tackle from NC State. He's flying up draft boards right now,
really?
So he'll be right around that area.
Is he kind of the other defensive lineman for NC State?
Well,
like Schlegel?
People are starting to realize is that this guy made a ton of plays. I think they're doing what others have done. They're watching
Mario Williams and Manny Lawson, and all of a sudden you see this guy.
Yeah.
It's like we stumbled upon Oliver Hoyt.
Right.
Well, you mentioned Schlegel.
That's Andy's guy.
The middle linebacker from Ohio State?
Yes.
I like him. I think he's kind of a throwback middle linebacker.
He
just wants to be a middle linebacker, and when we watched him on tape,
that's what they need.
A little quicker and more athletic than I thought he was.
How would you compare him with Ted Johnson when he was a rookie coming out of Colorado?
Similar.
Yeah?
I mean, he did a little more blitzing than I actually thought.
It's Ohio State blitzes like crazy.
Right.
They said
so. Did you get a guy like that in the third round?
Oh, you can get him. I think
he's
going to
go
that.
Further than
yeah?
that. Yeah, really? Probably fifth. I'd say
fifth, sixth.
Because he lacks. He doesn't have speed like 40 speed. But like Andy said on tape, I was really surprised. He has that short, quick.
If he's running 40 yards, the play's over.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you're in trouble if he's running 40 yards.
And finally, at 52. The Patriots, with their second pick, take cornerback Kelly Jennings.
Yeah, I think he might be gone by then. But if he was there at 52, that would be a good selection.
He's got a couple others. He's got at number 12, the Browns take Haloti Ngata.
Mm-hmm. If Haloti Ngata is there, the Browns will take him.
And at 18, the Cowboys take linebacker Manny Lawson.
Yeah, him or Carpenter.
Okay. So I don't know why he picks... Puts the Cowboys and Browns in there?
Probably because
the Belichick and
the system, the
space. Cornell.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Sorry. I blanked for a second.
The big jolly defensive coordinator guy?
I'm just guessing that might be why he took
I'm assuming that's right.
WebRadio@Patriots.com is email address. It's WebRadio@Patriots.com is email address. And yeah, Gary's reaching for the break button. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Touchdown! Tom Brady launches a 60-yard
touchdown! Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph free, limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field. No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again!
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots.
Patriots on Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast digital cable packages. Offer ends 1-106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network on Demand and Patriots on Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
Looking for the perfect attire for the big game? Wear what the pros wear exclusively from the Patriots Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your New England Patriots.
Tom Brady, touchdown Patriots!
And New England Revolution official apparel.
Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots and Revolution gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts and hats to specialty items like flags, commemorative prints, and collectibles. With a huge selection of Patriots items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public 7 days a week, except during home games. Can't get to the stadium? The Patriots Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at Patriots.com. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're an enforcer, you'd be in the locker room.
And we're back!
It's amazing how we can recreate that magic.
Back here, PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and
Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis, up in Buffalo. We're taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. We talked about Mel Mitchell joining the team and Eric Warfield joining the team. No one's left recently.
Nope.
So
that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Who else is left that could leave that hasn't left yet? They made a run for the door early on in free agency.
So, but Patriots don't have a kicker as we speak.
Michael Stone, I guess, is still out there trying to find any.
What we're working out, the Ohio State kicker, Houston.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Where was that?
Mike Reese. He's doing a day-by-day look at all the potential rookie kickers.
Not thrilled with a guy who's only kicked for 1 year, though. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's not going to be good, but you're not only bringing in a college kicker, you're bringing in a guy who's only kicked for one season.
I heard they're auditioning any of the Revolution players that want to give it a shot.
See, if I thought for sure that was a joke, it'd be fun. But I'm not totally sure it's a joke.
Actually, you know, I got an email. And
speaking of the Revolution, season tickets are available.
I can't remember the name now.
Be good seats still available.
I got an email.
Step over. He'll shoot off the far post.
Wow.
That was Brad.
It's a lot of excitement. Got an email from Michael Peston, who's kind of our European correspondent, right? He said that he mentioned a soccer player. I think it was a Revolution guy, but I'll recheck the email.
There was a guy
who's interested in kicking.
Yeah,
is a possibility.
He's right. There is a guy in the team right now who's interested in it.
What's his name?
I forget it. In fact, the name was mentioned to me this morning, and I can't
remember. Taylor Twellman!
Pat
Newman? Not one of the
Clint
more
Dempsey?
Well-known games.
Daniel Hernandez?
Charlize?
I'm not
Joseph?
Sure. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Sean Z?
It's none of the more well-known names.
I'm just reading off the posters we have here in the studio.
So you never know.
You just said that.
Tony Meola tried it at one time. He tried to kick for the Jets.
It's not one of the more well-known names, you said.
I never understood
even
the Tony
among
Meola.
Revolution fans.
Wasn't Tony Meola a goalkeeper?
Yes.
So why did he? It's not like the automatic transition.
Doesn't he still have to kick, though, like
kick
they
the
do
ball
that kick?
They kick the ball. They kick it right down the field.
It's more of a punt.
But right. A punt, right. I just don't see the
they
natural
boring.
Ball transition.
Revs are 1-0.
Are they?
Yeah.
When did they play?
Game 1-0.
When did they play?
Saturday night at 11.
Oh. Did PFW in progress listeners start caring?
I fell asleep at halftime.
If they care about the journalism bash, might as well care about that.
All right,
webradio@patriots.com,
email address, and don't forget iTunes and patriots.com. Tom,
it's our latest ranking. iTunes.
Where we dropped off the top 100.
What?
Yeah,
that's a good stuff.
69.
Our draft shows from yesterday, tremendous.
Well, the thing is, you don't have to subscribe to iTunes in order to get it. You can get it right from our site. So I think a lot of people are doing that.
It's called spin right there.
Well, no, I mean, you know,
I want us in the top 75.
There's multiple. Well, tell your friends.
You heard it on PVN.
Notre Dame football podcast is like 66.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
TVN. The Jets are like 67. They're, I mean, not the Jets, the Giants.
What do they do?
They have a podcast.
But what do they do on the podcast?
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
The Colts have one.
If it's not up there. The only one that's up there... The only one that's been up there other than ours was the Giants.
Maybe we ought to listen to it. What kind of content they have on
this
podcast.
Yeah, we could listen to it.
Same thing that we do.
It's gonna How
be
do you know?
Ernie Accorsi, welcome today's podcast.
That's what I'm wondering.
You don't know because they have DallasCowboys.com radio, and you know who's on there?
Who?
Stephen Jones.
Wow.
And they have players and stuff, so it's not safe to say, well, Dallas Cowboys got a radio thing like us. It's the same thing.
It's so Mickey Spigarola?
Yeah, Spagnola.
Yeah.
But, you know, we should listen to the
Joneses
Giants.
Understand the power of this, and they get in. At one time, Jerry Jones had a show, I think. You know, so.
Jerry Jones has been here, right?
Yeah.
Looking at the.
Sure.
Robert gave him a tour of the facilities and stuff and talked about
some of the things
that we do.
They came with almost a small busload of people. Because, you know, the Cowboys are building a new stadium. They brought a ton
My
of
guess
people.
They flew here first, though.
Yeah, but from the airport, they had a busload of people.
My guess is it'll be a little bit more extravagant.
I'm sure.
Aren't we hearing the number billion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
An amusement park.
Right.
In Texas, you do it up. Jim from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I wanted to let you know about something I have noticed over the last couple of years. Whenever I run into a female fan of the Patriots, hey now, we will talk about why we like the team, even though we both live in North Carolina. Almost all of them say they like the team mainly because of Tom Brady. Guess it helps to have a single good-looking and successful quarterback to help draw those female fans who are not sure who to pull for.
Successful part is still key there.
Because if he looked good but sucked, no one would know who he was.
The Bachelor looks good. No, nobody's
the question is,
the
has
Giants.
The Patriots shown any interest in possibly signing Ty Law?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
I have not seen any interest in that. Doesn't mean there hasn't been, but I have not seen any reports of him.
Closer by the day? Due to the fact that no one else has shown a lot of interest?
Oh, he's going to Seattle, I hear.
Yeah, he's
visiting there. They haven't asked for him to come. He's just going.
It's like they said.
That's not what I read. Is that true?
I heard he is visiting Seattle.
Yeah, no, I heard that they were.
But it's like they said on ESPN,
he's visiting Seattle.
Oh, I know. He is going to the team.
It's like they said on ESPN, Kyle just waited out and get his money.
He showed it last year.
Yeah.
He has no problems with
waiting.
He went
to the Pro Bowl. He's got leverage. I mean, he had 10 picks. He went to the Pro Bowl, so it's not like all of a sudden his asking price is going to be $1 million a year.
See, some guys would be scared off if it got to April and they still were unsigned. He doesn't care.
He doesn't.
Because you know what? I think he would rather walk away than play for nothing. That's the way he is.
Yep.
And I'm not saying he's right here. I'm just saying he's a very confident guy. And if he doesn't get the close to what he's asking for, I don't think he cares.
Then
he
I think he's going to retire.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's getting $10 million.
I bet you he gets $8 million.
Okay. Mike says...
Well, McGinnis got $6 million. You don't think Ty Law
can
get $8 million?
I wouldn't have given him $6 million.
Mike has an interactive draft scenario and wants our expert opinions.
It's like choose
he
your own adventure?
He puts expert opinions in quotes. I don't know if that means that...
Well, that's because, you know, I'm not by myself. If I was by myself, then the quotes, they take that
they go away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh, boy.
Say, dumbass.
it's just an ego.
You better be on this draft show that we're having.
There's an ego running amok.
You know, it's all in writing, Tom.
Andy, the one... I will admit that I'm wrong in virtually everything that I say in life, but the draft is the one thing that it reverses, and I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. With the draft getting closer and things starting to take shape, mock drafts and interactive drafts have been crazy. I've been involved in an interactive mock for the past several days.
What does that mean?
What?
What is an interactive mock?
I think it's online.
They draft, for a team.
Like fan from Seattle will draft and fan from New England will
draft. I don't
even
know if they have to be from Seattle. They just, everybody gets a team, and you pick for that team throughout the draft.
I do like the feature that ESPN has been doing with, they talk about each team individually, and they, I don't think they take it far enough. I'd like to see them do the step further that you just kind of explain and actually pick somebody. But they sit down and they break down each
on
team for like 5 minutes. You're on the clock, and they talk about... You know, their previous season, their losses, their needs, et cetera.
Patriots are on Friday, I believe.
Friday at 6.
I'm going to be interested, just a side note, to see the NFL Network's draft coverage because I heard they're going balls to the wall, gavel to gavel, and,
you know, really going after it.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club.
Like Berman screwing everything up and actually talking about the team that's on the clock, their needs, the possibilities.
Right.
ESPN does not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Berman's too busy telling knock-knock jokes unless the Bills and 49ers are on the clock.
And plus, you know, to their credit, they're getting a lot of advertising now, but you miss half the picks.
Right.
You know? Okay, so he wants to get our opinion on how his draft has conspired. I think. Conspired? No.
Transpired?
I think he means like
transpired.
Sounds like something I'd write on the internet.
Get a few emails right away.
He had some trades. He traded back in round one from pick number 21, so I guess he was acting as the Patriots.
So he was unhappy with the value that was available on the board when he selected.
And he's picking 27 and received the Panthers' second round pick, which is number 58.
Okay.
All right. Then he traded the 52nd pick and the 75th to the Titans for their 39th.
Did he ever make a pick?
He traded what? 27 and
52
what?
52 and 75.
52 and 75 for?
For 39.
Well, the Titans GM would be fired.
I was going to say, it sounds like a good deal for
so
the
here's
Patriots.
Who he's drafted.
With chart on that one.
With the 27th pick, he got Bobby Carpenter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
So
you got you got Bobby Carpenter and a second-round pick.
He said he
I like
and Greenway
it.
Were still on the board, so I knew I could get one of them.
Ooh,
Worst-case scenario, they both get drafted, and I take Maroney at 27.
Worst-case scenario is
you
draft
got
Chad
Greenway.
Greenway.
Right.
And you got a career special team over the 27th.
At 39, he took Darnell Bing. Harrison's getting old, and Bing is a specimen at the safety spot. He's very physical and plays a lot like Harrison does. He should excel in the system and from learning from Harrison.
Tell him to go to Patriots.com. Read the... I'll tell you what.
He's already on Patriots.com.
Go watch. Actually watch Darnell Bing play because he is the least physical safety I've seen on all the tape we've watched.
Okay.
Nothing like Rodney Harrison.
Plus, he made a bad career choice if he could have legitimately been the starting running back at USC this year. Because starting running
Nothing
backs
like Rodney
at
Harrison.
USC are productive. Then you get drafted high and make a lot of money.
At 58, he takes Joseph Addai, the running back. Good size, maybe an every down back, and although his college numbers don't show it, he could be a really good back. He has good hands out of the backfield, will need to work in his pass blocking, but I think he could be a great
I'll tell you what,
for Dylan in a year or so.
If he had drafted Greenway, this guy would have been mine and Andy's nightmare.
All right, so you don't agree with Joseph Addai
like
at 58?
We don't like some of those players as much as other people. We think Addai...
Even at 58?
This is Tom backtracking because he just called the guy an idiot.
No, I'm just saying we don't really like Addai because we feel like he's a guy who does a bunch of different things but doesn't do any of them particularly great.
Okay.
So we see him more as a situational type player. You know, we like Jarius Norwood out of Mississippi State more than him, so that's probably a guy we would have went with there. But... I mean, I totally despise Darnell Bing, and he feels the same way about Chad Greenway.
Yeah, I do.
So, come on, as a player.
I know.
As a player.
I know. 86.
We didn't call him despicable.
Right.
A quick thing on Addai. He said the pass, that's actually one of his strengths. He's considered possibly the best pass protector for running backs in the draft.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, you got to look at this stuff up. 86, Chris Kokung, defensive end.
Kokung. Now, that's a good pick.
He's a project pick that could pay big dividends.
He's a Fred Kirsch pick. You will fall in love with him from day one.
Okay, he has to learn to play the 3-4, but he put up huge numbers in college and looks great at the combine. A physical freak that is similar and possibly better than Manny Lawson.
Similar.
Could potentially move to the inside if need be.
We're projecting him as an outside linebacker, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't call him a physical freak. He tested well, but... To me, physical freak is
Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis. Ben Watson.
And it's hard to call a guy that I'm guaranteed that none of these people who are writing in
have ever seen play.
Physical freak.
Physical freak, I shouldn't look at and go, eh, he's a guy.
Right.
I mean, when you see Vernon Davis, that's a physical
freak. Well, I mean, I've seen him on TV.
No, but just,
he is incredible.
I mean, that's a freak.
Fred, I think, established a new mark at the combine for bench pressing 225 pounds. That to me is not a physical freak. It's just a strong guy. Now, if you're 6'5 and 260 and run like a 4.240, that's a physical freak.
Right. If they draft him, project him as an outside linebacker, he's replacing maybe Willie McGinnis. Willie McGinnis was a freak. Like him, hate him, think he's great.
Willie McGinnis is a physical freak.
Freak.
Right.
Freak.
Be
mate.
That big and be that
athletic
agile, athletic, you know, and have the longevity. That's a physical freak.
106, he takes Greg Jennings, the wide receiver.
While I admit I have never seen him play, but everything I read about him, he has Patriots written all over him, not a big receiver. But what does that really matter around here? Sounds like he has great hands, is willing to go across the middle, runs great routes, and is a team leader. At 118, he takes Kai Parham, inside linebacker.
I got no problem with that. Okay. I watched Virginia, the footage. Right? I didn't like him, but if you're getting him low and just think maybe he can develop, Al Groh gives him the heads up.
We would take Oliver Pratt from NC State. Hoyt from NC State.
Oliver Pratt isn't...
see somebody. Yeah, he's a college basketball player.
Well, Oliver Platt is.
Oliver Platt is an actor.
Oh yeah,
I believe.
136. He takes Ryan Cook, center guard.
I'll let Tom handle that
one. Okay.
Hey, at that point, if you're getting depth across the offensive line, that's fine with me.
191. He takes Jonathan Orr, wide receiver.
I heard a couple of scouts from a team I won't name when I was lifting at the combine and.
You were lifting at the combine?
Yeah, I was at the gym.
Oh, I thought they didn't try you out?
Well, no, because I would have led linebackers.
And Fred wasn't there watching you lift? I'm surprised.
No, but I heard a couple of scouts from a team just talking about how terrible they thought Jonathan Orr has been doing. And I mean, I'm just giving you
Is Jonathan Orr, as a total aside, related to the, I think it was a Colts receiver, Johnny Orr?
I don't know.
Goes to Wisconsin, right?
He's a big guy, though. Jonathan Orr, like if you're saying, well, we don't need big receivers, Jonathan Orr is a big receiver.
Yeah, but Wisconsin, don't they have a reputation of not having, they have these Tony receivers Sims. That are good track guys, but they're not.
They're up and down. I mean, you had Chris Chambers, and you had Tony Simmons. And
the thing is, Fred, is that they're raw because they're such a run-oriented team, and the receivers basically run fly patterns, so they have to work on their route running. Well, that's
what Bill says about everything
in
college.
That's the big thing about college football. It's all
there's no intermediate passing game.
And flies.
But he's one of those guys, I said to Tom, when I get down, like, the second half of our footage tape, and they're pretty much ranked by where they're projected to go, they all look the same. They're just kind of jags. I mean, none of them stand out. None of them... You got to get the right one for your system.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to.
So when you were at the combine, did you work out with him? Did you lift too? You didn't do that? Why?
I was with
Dartmouth.
I was lifting with Marv Levy, and I was lifting with Marv Levy and scouts. He only lifts, you know, with those gyms with the meat heads.
I worked out
from Gold.
I worked out.
All chalked up with a singlet. Yeah.
I ran. I don't know, Fred, but we were actually busy doing our jobs, posting stories.
Well, Tom was lifting.
Tom was lifting with the scouts.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
All right. What were you?
Wasn't all fun and games.
What were you lifting at 10 o'clock at night?
Maybe I was
a buffalo wing.
Right.
No, we went to dinner together.
All right. Number 205, Steve Fifita, defensive tackle.
From where?
Doesn't say.
I have no clue who that guy is.
Okay.
All right. We're actually going 7 rounds deep.
Keep going. I want to see
more.
What I can hear.
206, Garrett Mills, tight end.
Yeah, Garrett Mills will not be there at 205.
I'm on Burgundy.
He's actually a fullback. He's converted to fullback, and he's considered probably the top fullback in this class, so I imagine he'll
And
go
he'll be available
that.
Then, you know, through 7 rounds. one takes fullback.
And finally, 229, Daryl Hunter, cornerback.
Is he the guy from Miami of Ohio? Because if he is, I kind of like him. I don't think he'd
just
be there.
He's a raw talent with lots of speed.
So it's your kind of guy, Fred. Raw talent.
No, that's only when they're wrestlers.
Oh.
You're gonna like. That's why you'll like that Chris Gokung guy if he comes here. He played nose early on in his career, like 230 pounds, not real tall.
Right, Dan Klecko tutor him. We'll
the
be
two
all
guys,
set.
The two guys that I Andy and I will harp on until the draft is over with are Darnell Bing and Chad Greenway. We don't like them. We never will. And that's just the way it's going to be.
Because you like guys with talent.
Right, and they don't have any of it.
This is going to go one of two ways.
You know the difference between Tom and everybody else?
Yeah,
Tom likes guys with talent.
Right, exactly.
You know Tom, though. It's going to go one of either he's going to go with, like, the 11th, 12th pick of the draft, and we're going to go, whatever.
Right.
Or it's going to be, like, 35, 36, and he's still on the board, and we go, see, told you.
Right.
We know a little something. Like Matt Jones for me and Andy last year. You know, we were convinced.
Still wasn't a good pick.
We were convinced there's no way that he's going as high as these reports are saying he's going to go, and then he went, what, 18? To Jacksonville, and Andy and I just shrugged and said, we don't think it's a good pick.
Still not a good pick.
I think the top half of the first round is going to be very interesting because really nobody knows. I mean, Bush is kind of, he'll be number one. But after
Bush
that.
If number one, there should be an investigation in Houston.
Help me out, though, Tom. Does it seem like there's more changes among the top 10 this year than there have been, at least in the recent past? Or is it about the same? Like, it seems like, depending on where you go, you have different scenarios.
Yeah. No, you,
like it used to
right.
be,
you could pretty accurately
in
the top five.
Yeah,
pretty good.
And it doesn't seem like you can do that this year.
You got three quarterbacks who are very, very different.
Yes, I think
that's a good point. You know, they're so different, and it's such a big decision for a team.
You're right, but
I think that's a very good point.
Let's go back just to show you how bad a team can draft. Let's go back a year. Where do you think Alex Smith goes in this draft? Second, third round.
Yeah,
and they picked him number one.
Yeah,
so
some of us said they shouldn't have.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I think that's a good point as well.
You need to look, if you're San Francisco, at next year's draft, too, and no matter what you do this year, we're still going to stink. And here they are taking Alex Smith at number one. And I bet if you ask them behind closed doors, they'd have wished they had gone somewhere else and traded down or went for a quarterback.
Or traded down and got a first round for this year. I mean, you know, somebody's first round for this year.
I was talking to my neighbor about that this week. He's a huge Niners fan. I don't really know why. I don't know what the connection is to San Francisco.
Well,
but
they were good for a long
time. He loves the Niners. And Frisco? No, not at all. Very down on Alex Smith, and he's encouraged because he thinks Mike Nolan is a pretty good coach. He knows what he's doing, but very down on Alex Smith, and overall he kind of said exactly what Tom just said. He goes, why didn't they just look ahead and say there's going to be some quarterbacks next year, and we don't really love the quarterbacks in this draft. It was Rodgers and Smith.
Yeah, but
you've got to
assume that you're not going to do well in the given year and that you're going to finish in the top five.
But that's just being realistic.
We always say you don't know who's going to be good or bad, but Mike Nolan took over a team that had to be rebuilt from the ground up. So you had to figure they're not going to win 9 or 10 games in his first year.
Do you think Bill Belichick came here in 2000 and assumed that he was going to be, a Super Bowl contender?
No.
Or do you think he probably looked at it
but
and said,
a lot
no
of
what we do
what
here,
I'm saying, there's a
we
lot
need to
of
overhaul
risk
the roster.
And thinking you might be in a position to take one of those top quarterbacks the next year is a lot of risk. You know?
I think you might stink,
but there might be four teams that stink even
but
worse.
But what you're saying is, if they're not that bad, then apparently they found a quarterback somewhere that led them to a good record. Right. So maybe they don't need one anymore.
Plus, the risk involves the theory that Alex Smith is worth that pick.
Well, that's the thing.
That's my point.
Stinks.
Well,
and they had
obviously
to,
they didn't think so.
And when you don't draft him and he goes with the 14th pick in the draft, and then the next guy goes
Matt
with the 23rd,
you had to have some reservations about.
You might have thought that Matt Leinart was better, but he wasn't available, and you don't.
And it's early.
Oh, you go with what you got.
Yeah. But I only played 1 year.
Bottom line is, Alex Smith last year, Reggie Bush this year, those are the two top picks, not even in the same hemisphere.
No. Well,
word.
Reggie Bush, they're saying, is like a once-in-a-generation type player.
And I agree with it. Okay. I mean, I think he showed his...
I couldn't even get my whole sentence out when I was doing the writer's mock draft to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. I couldn't even get the whole sentence out, and he goes, Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And I mean, said, any particular reason? He goes, do you really need one? Yeah. He was very funny.
I was telling Andy, the 225 they do at the Combine, I think it's a little bit overrated. But then the one time that I think it shows something is you got a guy like Bush who's that quick and that fast, and at his pro day he puts up 24 reps at 225. That's a total package right
How many reps can you do 225?
That I used to before my shoulder?
Yeah.
27, 28.
Woo!
Damn.
The other thing about
Andy's in the 30s, right?
Yeah. No. The other thing about
Andy was in the 30s.
No. You're close?
Well, I used to be in college.
69.
You were in the 30s in college? Really?
I think the most I did was 33.
What? The combine record is like in the 30s, isn't
it? You know
it?
They don't 40s. Test at the Division III level, right?
Yes, they do. Well, they can. I was never tested.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do.
I tested.
Yes, they do. That's how do you think I got all this hair? How do you think I got all this hair off my back?
The other thing about the Bush thing is it totally embarrassed back Lendale White, who did 15 or 14.
And he probably was bouncing it off his belly and still couldn't do that many.
You'd think
that just
Bush
goes to show you, though, that Bush is a solid, strong. I mean,
did you see the photos that they were using of him running the 40 and just his shoulders? He had one of those, like, wind suits on and.
That's the point I keep trying to make, though. People are talking about his weight, about his weight, and that he can't carry the load. This is a big guy.
Right. He didn't have to.
Pounds.
That doesn't mean he can't.
Right.
Right. Now I think he's going to be an every down back in the NFL.
Maybe he won't be a guy that you want to, give the ball to, 25 plus times. But to be honest with you, I really don't think there are a lot of guys that you want to do that with anyway.
There aren't.
Because you're just going to end up shortening the guy's career.
If you give the ball
to the guy that gets you the lead and you bring the chump in the fourth quarter to carry
him,
the ball.
You give him 15 touches and have a chance that he's going to do something special every game, I'd take my chances
with
that theory.
But the other thing,
who is better, Bo Jackson or Reggie Bush?
Bo Jackson.
Really?
It's just, come on.
I don't know.
We're talking about Bo Jackson.
The greatest athlete that you've ever seen with your own two eyes.
As much as I make fun of Andy, Bo Jackson is a generational type athlete.
Well, that's what they're saying about this guy.
I think Bush could be in that class.
He's that good. Bo was bigger, stronger.
A lot bigger.
Did everything that Reggie Bush can do. And now we're talking. Then we start talking about baseball and the fact that just he was a freak of a nature athlete.
But we haven't seen Bush play at the pro level yet. You don't know what he can do.
All right. Let's see. Henry from San Antonio. The Patriots are starting to make a little run at some free agents. I was wondering, who do you think might the Patriots go after next? Also, who will back up Tom Brady for the 2006 season?
Those are two good questions.
My boy, Jay Fiedler.
Yeah, two very good questions. Unfortunately, I don't really have a good answer.
Jay Fiedler. They're going
to
sign him.
I tried to make some inquiries today to find out who they might, you know, just any kind of possibilities. I didn't really get anywhere.
I'm hearing a Peerless Price, I heard, through the grapevine that they might have some interest.
Oh, LeVar's still out there,
That'd
Tom.
That'd be another guy. Peerless Price would be another guy, I would think, maybe to a lesser extent. But like Eric Warfield, I don't think it's a set-the-world-on-fire signing, but I don't think it would be a bad move for a team to make. I mean, it's a guy who has had a 1,000-yard season in 2002, I know. He's not a terrible player. I mean, something happened to him.
Right. Well, the thing is, Paul,
since he was traded from Buffalo to Atlanta.
The thing is that his game, I think, is predicated on down the field.
No doubt.
I think Drew Bledsoe, with his strong arm, really helped him put up those stats.
Well,
I just don't know if
who you're preaching to.
Well, I just don't know if the short intermediate routes that they run here is what Peerless Price is all about, because I think he had trouble with in Dallas.
But I'm not suggesting you come in, you give the guy a $5 million signing bonus and ask him to be your number two guy.
Right.
This is a veteran minimum guy who, if he has his head on straight, I think can come out there and, you know, for example, I think he's probably going to give you more than Richie Caldwell.
And he has a big upside. You know, if he can ever get back to a 1,000-yard season,
what
did we get here for nothing?
That's what I'm saying.
Let's see.
As far as Arrington, the Postons would scare me with Arrington. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Patriots are really interested in getting into Poston negotiations.
I'll take them.
So
that's a shock.
I don't think anybody would deny the guy's talent. I'm just telling you, I think that
a lot of people think that's why he and Law aren't signed yet. Because of the Postons.
Could be.
Well, I'm just talking about the Patriots. I'm not talking about anybody else. I mean, the Postons have signed other clients around the league.
Greg from Winnipeg, Canada.
You mean, how am I doing?
A couple questions. Rank these quarterbacks that you think will have the best success in the NFL. Matt Leinart, Vince Young, Brody Croyle, and Jay Cutler.
I wouldn't even put Brody Croyle in the equation, by the way. Matt's just
fourth.
My opinion.
If you're going to ask, he's fourth out of those, and I would go probably...
Young.
I'm going to go Young, Leinart, Cutler, and Croyle.
I agree.
I'm going to put Cutler above Leinart, and this is a fraudulent statement because I saw Jay Cutler play exactly one game at the end.
Probably more than Mike Mayock saw live.
I saw Leinart play a lot, and I think that he's kind of a safe guy. Like I don't think he'll do anything that'll really hurt you. What? I just don't think he's that, quote-unquote, that good.
I think he could bust. I don't think
he has a very strong arm.
He doesn't. There's
no
question he
does. He's going to bust, but I don't think he's anywhere near Carson Palmer.
You sound like Peter King.
I'm not saying he's going to bust.
If you said to me, pick five out of the top 10 players who you think have a chance of busting,
God, this guy's worse than Spurgeon Wynn.
People would pick Vince Young. Yeah. I just think Vince Young, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I've seen him play. He can throw the football. Anyone else that says different, they haven't watched.
Fred, go ahead. Say different, because you clearly think different.
What?
You hate Vince Young.
I think he's as good as, I think in the right system, he can do well. But there's very few guys.
The system involves winning football games?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that there's very few teams that are willing to let a quarterback do things that aren't quarterback-like, and that's what Young needs to do.
I don't think Vince Young runs as much as you think he does. The thing is that people look at the Rose Bowl game. Now, that game, yes, he did take off a lot, but if you watch his whole body of work, he stands in the pocket and he looks downfield as he's getting to the line.
Right. But
so he's not necessarily.
The question is, will he have to run in the NFL?
Yes.
If you take that away, what kind of, you know, the threat of running is sometimes just as important as actually
running.
I don't think
you should take it away.
My worries about him have nothing to do with anything physical. I think he can throw the ball well enough to succeed in the NFL.
Go
My
Rico.
Questions worry about.
That's great.
I like it.
I worry about the stuff that Mike Mayock said with Andy at the combine, Andy and Tom. about Mac Brown and the coaching staff kind of limiting, quote unquote, limiting his
cut down on his reads
and
that's
and,
when he started to take off.
But that would worry me.
But the fact that he's reading puts him a step ahead of Michael Vick. Michael Vick was run first.
There's no comparison.
Throw maybe a little bit.
Vince
Young drops back. And at least he has a first read before he decides, I'm the best athlete on this field and I can just run.
I mean, I think that in terms of passers, that Michael Vick and Vince Young have absolutely nothing in common in terms of their collegiate passing records. I mean, it's like comparing Matt Cassel to Matt Leinart.
I mean,
that's how little they had in common in terms of Michael Vick threw the ball nowhere near the amount of times that Vince Young did in college.
Right.
It's not even worth discussing.
And if we're going to talk about the passing game, what quarterback comes into the league with the ability to read as well as he does 3 years into the league? It's a limited passing game. It limits the quarterback. It limits the wide receivers.
Admitted.
To some degree,
admitted.
You're rolling the dice and saying, this guy can mature, can learn this, can learn that, and will be better in 3 years.
But doesn't it? I agree with you. I think it's far less sophisticated at the collegiate level, and if he was having problems picking that up, that would concern me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's only going to get harder.
That's one of the concerns with him. We'll have to see how it...
And again, I am totally sold on his skills.
He's a three-time MVP.
The Uncle Rico thing doesn't bother me at all.
No.
I mean, he's proven to me that he can throw like that.
Rivers
and he's
throws
6'5".
The same way, and he got picked in the top five, so...
And they're bumping off proven starters to get him on the field.
Don't be jealous that I've been chatting online with Dave all day.
Right. Greg, final question is, with all this talk of the Patriots being cheap this offseason... Who do you think is the cheapest team in the NFL today?
Cincinnati. Tied with Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll throw out Arizona.
But I was going to say maybe San Diego. They're pretty cheap, too.
San Diego's cheap. Pittsburgh
no
isn't
idea.
Known to throw the money around, either.
How do we know who's cheap and who's not cheap?
Pittsburgh and Philly.
It's all relative.
It's
Because they all spend the cap.
Everybody spends the
cap.
And
it's all perception.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Cardinals were cheap because they were playing in a cheap-ass stadium, and now that they're going to be playing in this... multi-million-dollar luxury thing, they'll be spending money left and right.
I think it's more of who tries to win and who doesn't try to win. Owners who actually...
Yeah, I think cheap is like when the stories that Fred tells us about Cincinnati, that their coaches were given clipboards
right,
at the end of the season
old.
To go
They're
out and scout.
They're not that cheap anymore.
It's not that old, Andy.
But
it's
not now.
Marvin Lewis was there.
Right, but it's not now, so they're not cheap anymore.
Well, what do you think? They just all of a sudden turn over a new leaf, and they've, you know, now that the purse strings are wide open and they spend money all over the place?
Still Mike Brown.
Still the same guy running the show.
Yeah, I heard he's going to sell the stadium naming rights.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's moving forward. He's not cheap.
Scott from Washington.
Hey, what did you think about the...
That doesn't make him not cheap that he's selling something.
Well, he's going to spend the money. What did you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers choosing not to raise a banner and have a ceremony on opening night?
Pretentious.
Yeah, and making sure everyone knows about that. We don't do those kind of things. You know.
So what's the sense of winning? You know what I mean?
I don't care. I don't care that they're doing it or not.
You think the fans enjoyed that night here at Gillette Stadium?
I just asked a question. You don't have to yell.
No, it's something you give back to the fans.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let them share in it.
Jeez.
They don't get to go to the ring ceremony or
no
get
wonder
the trophy.
People hate the Steelers. Seriously. No.
I hate them. I hate the Steelers.
I do, too.
Art Rooney.
Sorry
Rooney
if that offends
is.
Any of the listeners that I put my agenda out there, but I hate the Steelers.
I don't hate anybody. I'm a man of the
people. Oh, please.
Andy Hart doesn't hate anybody. God, don't strike him dead.
It comes out of your pores, for crying out loud. Scott from Washington, D.C. Tom, is Darnell Bing this year's Ernest Shazer? A lot of folks thought Shazer would be a surefire day one pick, but he ended up as an undrafted free agent.
Remember that?
Yeah.
No,
that was amazing.
Bing will get drafted because, like I compared him to Bucky Jones. Now, when Tabucky Jones was at Syracuse, my cousin and one of my best friends were there, and when we heard that he was going to be picked in the first round as a safety, we started laughing because he was a guy that, he's a great athlete, but he was nowhere near ready to play safety at the pro level and be a first-round draft pick. That's where I think Bing is. He's
so what did you think when
area.
The Patriots took him and said, we're not even going to play him at safety, we're going to make him a cornerback?
Well, you saw what happened there.
That worked
I
well.
Just I think Bing is one of those guys that they put in a place because he's got good athleticism, but he doesn't have instincts to play the position. They should have. I agree with Andy. He should have came back and played running back. You know, if he's that good at running back, then hey, do that because.
Is he related to Dave Bing?
I don't have the answer to that.
Former NBA star.
I know who Dave Bing is.
I don't.
I'm gonna say no.
You don't know who Dave Bing is?
Wow.
No, Chandler
Fred,
Bing.
Fred. 85.
That wasn't my story.
1985.
Anything beyond before that is, you know.
That's the cutoff.
I don't think he'll drop out of the draft
like
Shazer.
Yeah, six.
But I just don't see him as a first-round draft prospect.
One other draft question for the panel. I find it hard to believe that the Patriots or anyone would take Richard Marshall in the first round, but then again, he sure is making it into a lot of pre-draft chatter. Where do you think Marshall will or should go in the draft?
Late first, early second.
I agree with that.
I think coverage skills, I think Ty Hill has the best pure coverage skills. I think combination coverage skills and physical play against the run, I think Richard Marshall's the best corner in this draft.
He's very physical, but I will say that I was watching Demetrius Williams out of Oregon, a guy who Richard Marshall said at the Combine was one of the toughest guys he faced, and now I know why, because I watched play after play. They cut it up so it was quick, and he was just beating him off the ball, beating him for a touchdown.
Okay. Paul writes in, I'm very concerned about the receiving core.
Should be.
What do you think the master plan will be?
No idea.
You guys mentioned maybe Peerless Price?
I would be surprised if they don't draft at least one, but I would think probably two wide receivers.
Early?
No, not necessarily saying early. Well, I'm just saying they're going to draft two wide receivers.
They haven't drafted two wide receivers who can't really play.
Well, why can't you draft one of them in the second round that you're expecting to play the way you did with Deion Branch?
Well, that's what I asked early. You said no.
Well, I meant first round.
No, I meant like first day.
No, first day, I think, yeah. I mean, not two on the
first
day.
Well, they've done that. I mean, Deion Branch is a first day guy. Bethel Johnson.
That's what I meant, first day receiver. Yeah.
As I said yesterday, they went 50-50. They got one good and one bad.
Well, Jim says again, one more thing. I heard on Sirius NFL radio this morning that one of the hosts was told that one of the NFL teams attending a workout told a prospect to not run the 40 so they would slip down to later in the round so this team could snap him up.
That was fat.
I wonder how often this happens.
That was Lendell White, and the team was, we won't mention. We don't know, but that is a report that someone told Lendell White not to run the 40 so his draft.
You know who the team was?
No.
Oh.
But why would a player do that? Because you get less money the lower you're drafted.
I don't know. If I had to guess, Lendell White's out of shape, and he would have ran a 4.8.
I was going to say, did they tell him to eat a lot and be fat when he showed up?
This one thing, when a guy comes on, like a couple days after the or his own pro day, on NFL Access and says, I got to change my work habits. I mean,
it's a red flag in my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
He got the red flag right from the combine.
Going to like chemistry level.
All I had to do was look at him at the combine, and my red flag was flapping in the breeze. Yeah.
Al from Valdosta, Georgia, despite multiple DUIs, I like the Eric Warfield signing. He's always had a nice combination of good ball skills and physical play. This will be an upgrade from Dwayne Starks. It looks like the team is using free agency to shore up the defensive backfield. This may mean the draft will focus on linebacker position. What are chances that Pats try to package something, move up, and take A.J. Hawk? You know Vrabel would be all for that.
Well, apparently Vrabel and Carpenter are better friends. So
I don't think the Patriots have what it takes to get up high enough to get A.J. Hawk.
Or if they trade the whole draft.
Well.
And believe me, there's teams up there that want A.J. Hawk.
Mike Ditka did it once.
That's why I didn't just miss you.
But yeah, they're not going to trade enough to get up there. You have to trade an awful lot.
You're talking top five or six
from 21.
All right, we got a lot more emails coming in. It's 1:30. We're here until 2. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
From sixth round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
I'm Teddy Bruschi. You know there's no team like the Patriots. And no place like home field.
No fans like ours. No victories like we've had.
And the Patriots have done it again.
And no better way to keep up with all of it than Patriots On Demand.
Introducing Patriots On Demand, exclusively with Comcast Digital Cable. It's your ticket to the Patriots all year long with Patriots video news, game highlights on Pat's replay, press conferences, and more. Just go to NFL Network On Demand and select from the Patriots On Demand menu to watch whenever you're ready. So call 1-800-COMCAST today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages.
There's nothing else like Patriots On Demand.
That's 1-800-COMCAST. Call today and get your first month free on select Comcast Digital Cable packages. Offer ends 1-106. Restrictions apply. Offer does not include applicable taxes and additional fees. Call for availability, pricing, equipment, and service details. NFL Network On Demand and Patriots On Demand are subject to the NFL's blackout policy. Following the promotional period, regular rates apply unless service is canceled by calling 1-800-COMCAST.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are you going to do, Stan?
I feel like I want to go.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska, hunting wolverines. We kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Fucking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
Speaking of Lori, she's overseas right now. Traveling with the cheerleaders to parts unknown to entertain the troops.
But first,
going to Bangkok?
Let's turn it over. Patriots
I don't know.
Andy Hart.
But they're Andy. They're thanks, wherever Lord. They are right now. So
you can't find out, can you? Isn't that like top secret?
Yeah, you don't know until when they come back where they went, because I don't know.
They going to Iraq?
They could be. Yeah, I think so. Craig from Pennsylvania. Webradio@patriots.com is email address, by the way. Webradio@patriots.com. And the phone number.
We need more Pedro.
508-543-7482.
That's true.
Craig says, I've been trying to guess the first round picks for the Pats the last 3 years and have been dead wrong each time. Will Fork was not a surprise pick to me when he was still available. However, Mankins and Watson were. What position do you think the Pats will go after first? There are many needs this year, but I bet defense is addressed first.
Linebacker.
Can I just interrupt for a second? Not that anybody cares about the Red Sox kind of related stuff, but Bronson Arroyo hit a home run his first at-bat.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
He's winning 4-2, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so let me plug in for one of the local guys, put in a plug for one of the local guys. If you look at Penn State workouts, you will see some pretty impressive numbers from a small-town boy named Ethan Kilmer. For example, he has a 40-inch vertical. It's quite a story. Never played high school football, making the team as a walk-on at Penn State, becoming Penn State's stud tackler on special teams, and making the big catches in the bowl game against Florida State. This is someone to consider late in the draft or someone to bring in undrafted. There's my 2 cents.
What's his name?
Ethan Kilmer.
Undrafted would be the key word there.
Sure. You don't have to be mean.
No, I'm just saying that he'll be an undrafted free agent. What's
mean
about
vertical?
He walked on in college. We'll let him walk on in the pros.
Plus, there's undrafted free agents in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Randall Gay was an undrafted.
Okay.
Free agent.
What position do you think the Patriots will go after first in the first round?
Linebacker.
See, I think that what makes it hard. Like, for example, when we were doing our draft show a couple of years ago, when Will Fork was the pick, I think we all thought that Will Fork would be the pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he was slipping, and we just said, you know, this is a guy falling into their laps. They can't pass this talent up. I think all of us, all four of us at the time, felt Will Fork would be the pick.
Tom was
now
there.
Going into that No, it was Bryant at the time. But going into that draft, I don't think anybody could have predicted that Vince Wilfork would be there at 21.
So yeah, really, so if AJ Hawk is there, they'll take him.
You really don't know.
So that's the part, like, you can't say, you know, everybody always says, oh, Bill is so unpredictable. Well, who's predictable when it comes to the draft? I mean, how it unfolds, nobody knows. So you might say if they had their, you know, all things being equal, if they had their choice, they might want a specific position, you know, maybe they want a linebacker, maybe they want a running back, maybe they want a wide receiver or whatever, but it's the guy that, that's important, and it's who's available.
For example, Tom, we know that if Reggie Bush is available at 21, Bill will indeed select him.
Take a player like Nagata from Oregon. Say Bunkley goes before him at defensive tackle, then Nagata starts to slip. Maybe Bill loves Nagata
and says, screw it, I'm not signing Seymour, I got this guy.
Right.
I never thought I'd have a chance to get him. Right. My value, I have him as my number 8 guy on the board, and here I am at 21, and he's still there.
Jason. All that said, linebacker Bobby Carpenter, I'm in love with him.
Well, we like Carpenter, Andy and Tom especially, from what they've watched, you know, and they've sold me on him. I mean, I liked him as a player, I'll tell you that, watching him in games.
I think the two biggest needs right now, as Paul and I argued in the paper, linebacker, maybe wide receiver, and based on this draft, you can probably get that one of those second-tier wide receivers a little further down. Maybe you address both needs with guys who could come in and play.
See, and that's the bigger, even the bigger thing to me is, even if you felt, and I don't feel that wide receiver is the biggest need, but even if you felt it was, I just don't think this is a draft that is worthy of taking a wide receiver that high.
Hey, is that long-haired kid from Notre Dame in the draft this year?
No,
next
year.
No, he's coming back to Notre Dame.
Next year.
He'll be a hard
Jason. Third rounder, no doubt.
Yeah, next year's draft show ought to be fun.
He'll ride his motor all the way to the NFL.
Jason says,
see what you did.
Sorry about the negativity on Borges, etc. There's a lot going on in Alaska. I visited there a few years ago. There are some good-sized cities.
I offend more people.
Maybe like a small Boston. And there are many sports in all seasons, although a bit odd on the summer with the temps varying between 90 and the 40s, depending on what the day it is. Beautiful country. And many have to take flying taxis to get around. As for kickers, any chance they keep two, a veteran and a rookie, an undrafted free agent or whatever, so that they can sort of ease into things instead of getting thrown into the...
not on the roster.
No.
Maybe they keep training one for the practice squad.
Right. Yeah, they might have a veteran and a rookie in training camp, let one win out. If the veteran wins out, the rookie might stay on the practice squad.
Yeah, but no way they waste two roster spots on kickers doing the same job.
He also thinks that Reggie Tung is from Alaska.
Could be. I just want to say, to be fair, Alaska is one of the places on my list that I really would like to go before I die. I've always wanted to visit there. They show a lot of those cruises where you get out and jet ski. It looks very cool.
It's one of the few states I've actually
been to. Well, they have some beautiful cruises that you can take up there. You know, cruises.
I just so you know, I'll never go on a cruise.
Explain that to me, Tom.
Fires. You're stuck on a boat. You ever see those shows, cruises?
I'll never go on
bad.
Cruise either.
Hell no. They can offer me as much free food.
I would never take one of those Caribbean cruises, those kind of ones, but up to Alaska, I might do it up there.
Yeah, because the boat can't catch on fire.
No, because it's a different clientele.
I'd take a cruise without question in a heartbeat.
Hell no.
Was going...
All-inclusive resorts are where it's at.
Oh, I like those.
I'll tell you what, Andy. We just found a lake right across the street from our house. Got a nice little public beach there. That's good enough for me. Walk right to it.
Oh, boy. You're like 80 years old.
He really is.
You're like an 80-year-old man.
You got Andy's the curmudgeon, and he's like 111 years old.
Bob from Berlin, Connecticut. What is going to be your coverage live on draft day? Well,
it'll be live. It'll be covered.
We'll have this show both Saturday and Sunday, from noon to 3, Gary? Both days.
We'll either be praising Tom's knowledge or ripping his...
What?
We've decided to go noon to 3 on the first day.
Won't even have picked yet.
We usually go to 6.
Should we go 3 to 6, Gary?
No. I thought we went noon to 6 usually.
Noon to 6?
Whoa.
Last year we were noon to 3 both days.
We went noon to 3?
So we won't have the Patriots pick?
So we just made the determination last year that we wouldn't be on for the Patriots pick?
Should we go 3 to 6? We can do. Whatever. We're going to have a show on Saturday and Sunday.
Sunday will be noon to 3, I would imagine. Regardless.
Sunday will be noon to 3. Saturday, we'll extend it. I don't know.
We should start later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you know.
I don't really want to be moving around when the draft's on, though.
You're not. You're sitting right there with the TV.
Oh, the draft starts at noon.
Yeah, but we'll be in our radio booth watching.
We watch the whole
thing.
We have
everything. We have TVs. We can see the big screen in the stadium.
What do you think
there's
we're down
food.
Here?
I don't know what's
going
on.
No, we don't even do the show from
here. We're up in the press box in one of the little side rooms. We have a TV with the feed coming in, and then when the pick is made, Gary actually plots up the – do you like how I did that? Plots up the sound.
Well, I do. I have the blur right here.
And Gary's big-timing us working with somebody else usually.
Right. Usually Gary's double-dipping and working for, like, a draft party or something.
My real job, yeah.
No, this is your real job.
I've never really figured out what your real job is.
John Rook was on the show. You'd be voting 100%
of your
attention.
What are the hours?
Well, you'll be there.
Oh, for draft day? You're here early and you're home late.
11 to 11?
Here? I'm just saying.
I'm talking about on the air.
On the air.
I don't know yet.
It'll be probably a 3-hour block, you know, maybe noon to 3 or 1
Fred
to 4.
Fred says that to me
like
I wouldn't be doing that at home by myself anyway.
No, he's kind of a loser.
We'll be here probably like 11 to
11.
11. On Saturday, here at 9.
You got no chance.
Why would I be here at 9 when the draft starts at
draft
noon?
Draft starts at noon.
No, it starts
at noon.
Yeah, so.
So I'll be here
prep.
At 11.
You got to prep.
I've been prepping for months.
Eat breakfast. You know,
they serve food up there.
Anyway,
I know,
you're looking at about 11 to 11 on Saturday and probably about 10 to 7 on Sunday.
All right. Yeah.
That's a pretty good rough estimate.
And the food's pretty good.
And we're on the air from 12 to 3.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Roughly. But we're up in the press box.
But you're on the air watching it and saying what you're
seeing. I'm just asking. You guys are like all defensive.
I'm just trying to calm your fears because I know you don't want to miss a minute of.
I don't want
actually,
you to,
Gary, we should get two TVs.
I'm just wondering
because we should get NFL Network on one.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And ESPN on the other.
We'll take Larry Johnson's.
Well, what did we do to him last year? We moved it?
Oh. Well, Fred, I will be here at 10 in the morning with all my books and pads
that's,
and draft
that's
boards
it.
And,
that
pads
a boy.
And everything
that
else,
a
all right?
Boy. That's how you do it.
Then just tell me where to go.
He has no fears. The only fears he have are flying.
And leaving the house.
And you booking flights for us.
That is one of my fears.
On cheapair.com with their prop that they ask you to start before you get on.
Hey, Carol Hardy, our circulation manager for PFW, is on her way to Virginia. As
did
we
you
speak.
Get her a cheap-ass flight on a prop plane?
Well, the ad said take a chance.
is she flying?
Why not fly us?
Is she flying or did you blow up a float
for her? All I know is that they're weighing her luggage on a bathroom scale, so I'm not sure the legitimacy of the airline, but, you know.
But we got a good deal.
Oh, that's funny. That's very funny.
Gabe writes in, what is your take on the Brett Favre saga? Is he selfish in waiting to give his team an answer?
Selfish, annoying, go away, and you can't play anymore.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting. I think that's kind of the poster child to fight against what I always complain about, you know, how you're supposed to treat guys that have given you a little bit more. You know, a little bit differently. That's the flip side. I asked the teams to treat guys like Brett Favre a little bit differently for all they've done, and this is what you get for it.
Right.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous what he's doing with the Packers. Regardless,
what are they going to do? Cut me? That was a terrible
statement. I would have cut him the next day. I would have cut him immediately after finding that out. I really would have. And I'm not, you know me, Fred. I'm black and white when it comes to that
stuff. He has said a lot of dumb things over his career at different times. He's not always.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is now? Andy, the difference is now is he's not saying good. Dumb things at the bottom of his game.
Right.
So, see you, bye, thanks for coming. We'll be there for your Hall of Fame induction
speech. I agree
with
Paul. They've given him more than – they've been more than courteous to him, allowing him to do this. And, you know, I always say it always goes back to what Chuck Knoll said. If you're considering retire, then you're already retired. So, either you want to play or you don't.
Make I could go mind. For a small cheese pizza from Omega right now.
Can you do – can you effort that?
I'll fly. You buy.
Oh, yeah.
No cash.
He'll fly. I'll buy.
I have no cash.
I'll give you my credit card. I don't think they take credit cards.
Really?
I don't.
I got no cash.
They don't take credit cards? Did you tell them it's 2006?
Well, they're a little mom and pop
place.
It's a little mom and pop shop. It costs
you had a little mom and pop place. We took credit cards. That was back in the 90s.
You were connected.
You had to, though, because you couldn't have any money laying around.
Connected.
I thought yours was an all-cash business, if you know what I mean.
Seriously,
no,
Andy, are you telling me
to the cash,
a pizza place shouldn't have a credit card?
Well, yeah, but if you got a credit card, then you have record of everything you take
I think
in.
You should be put out of business if you don't have a credit card machine.
Yeah.
Tom, I thought I was black and white. Tom just puts me to shame.
You hear that, Omega? Omega's a local in Foxborough. You got to get
a sponsor of the show, aren't they?
Are they? They should be.
The official Bowman
Gary,
Buffalo
can you effort
provider.
That? Can you get Omega to be one of our sponsors?
Gary's just going to come in throwing punches.
I'm interrupting a solitaire game, for Christ's sake.
Free sell.
Yeah, you are. Let's see. Gabe says again, and sticking with QBs, in lieu of the McNair incident when the Titans barred him from the workout facilities, how plausible would it be that he becomes a backup for Brady That is, if the Pats don't re-sign Flutie, your thoughts? No way.
Pats aren't re-signing.
Too many teams want him as a starter.
Right.
The Ravens why would are he just sitting there waiting.
He's not ready to be a backup.
People want him to be a starter. He'd rather be a starter. Seems pretty simple.
Yeah, he's not ready to be a backup. There's no chance of that happening in my mind, and I don't think Flutie will be back in my mind. Matt Castle
first,
is going to be the backup quarterback.
We never talked about that Titan situation, and at first that
was awful.
I backed management at first. Because I felt, why should they take that risk? But then I started thinking about it. The guy is under contract.
Right.
It's not like he's not under contract and they're a contract.
Right.
And he should be allowed to work out at his team. That is just such baloney that until.
That's right. He said it. Baloney.
Yeah. I mean, at first without thinking about it, I immediately backed the Titans saying,
not surprising.
If he gets hurt,
that's what you do.
They're on the hook, but the guy has a contract that you signed,
right.
Tennessee. And the reason why it's so big right now is because he kept extending it.
And we all remember that he probably was never going to see that $50 million bonus.
Right. If you don't want to pay him that, cut him right now and re-sign him.
Right.
Now if they cut him, now that, of course, they would have perfect reason to keep him from the facility.
Oh, if he's not on the
and I'm sure he'd be fine with it. If you cut me, I'm not on the team.
He's
anymore.
On the roster. He's under contract. Let him in and work out.
You bring up a good point about people were saying about loyalty with Vinatieri and everything. Don't I remember McNair single-handedly running around in the Super Bowl making plays down the stretch to give that team a chance to win? So apparently Floyd Reese and everybody forgot about that.
Right.
So when management cuts the ties, that's okay. But when a player, doesn't have any loyalty, then we get emails saying we want to switch.
Any guy can get hurt working out, but if are they really saying that they don't trust him? That he might try something? Isn't that what they're saying?
Like what?
Like fake an injury.
Oh, can't he fake an injury anyway?
No, but what I think they're saying, though, is we don't trust you,
You think this is just to do with injury?
Oh, yeah. They don't want to be on the hook for they don't want him doing anything that will force them to have to pay the $9 million.
They're going to be on the hook unless they release him anyway.
No, or redo his contract.
Well, if he faked it, if he got hurt somewhere else, they could put him on NFI and not pay him. Talking in extremes here, but
I know.
It's an extreme
I don't think
situation.
That has anything to do. I think they want it. I think they're trying to back him into a corner and bully him into redoing his contract. Is what
they're
trying
to do.
I don't
think that'll work. By the way, faking an injury would kind of fly in the face of everything we've ever heard and read and seen with Steve.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what are they worried about?
I don't think
that
has anything to
do
with it.
They screwed themselves.
What are
they made a bad deal, and I think that's all this is about. They're trying to rectify a bad situation. I really don't think they're trying to prevent him from faking an injury.
Well, I just think why not let him work out.
Now, I think, like I just said with Brett Favre, I think Favre's actions have been reprehensible, and I think the Titans' actions. And I thought even more so, Jeff Fisher, who I happen to think is a quality coach and a stand-up guy, I thought his comments were embarrassing. Basically, he pulls a Tom Casale, washes his hands of the whole thing. So
I get back in town, I'll deal with it.
I didn't know about this. So I was not aware of it. And when I get back in town, I'll deal with it. That's a bunch of crap.
Well,
he's the head coach.
He has to be insulated. He's got to blame on somebody else because if McNair does stay, he's got to work with the guy every day.
He's in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Don't comment on it.
Just like Tom Casale.
Don't wash your hands of it.
Or communicate with the player beforehand and get something done. If you've been
But I'm saying Floyd Reese, Steve McNair, and Jeff Fisher has to deal with both.
Yeah,
he might think McNair is all right, but he can't say Floyd Reese, he's right, you're wrong. He doesn't have the power.
You know who Floyd Reese was tight with too, Fred?
Bill Belichick.
I know. Mike says
Schwartzy thinks about.
Thanks for ripping my interactive mock draft.
No, we didn't rip it.
He's got a little smiley after it. I have a couple of questions for you after hearing your comments. One, do you think the Patriots need to draft a safety? And 1B, if so, who would you like in this draft? Best safety in the draft?
The best safety is Michael Huff. But
I know that one.
I don't know, because they still have James Sanders roaming around there, too. I think that's the big question, is what do they think of Sanders? Rodney Harrison thought a lot of him when he talked to us, saying...
Just so you know, and I know you don't really like Gus Scott, but Rodney also thought a lot of Gus Scott.
So Harrison doesn't know anything.
Well, Gus Scott has just been hurt a lot.
Yeah, we don't know.
Like
we don't know about Gus Scott
you,
either.
I'm still intrigued by Gus Scott.
But maybe they're settled at safety. Maybe with the young guys they have, and they brought in the Mel Mitchell for...
I'll say I'll be happy with what... Tom,
settled.
I'll be happy with what they have if... I know right now Rodney Harrison comes back 100%. Other than that, they're not settled.
When do you think he's coming back at 100%?
I don't know.
I think there's probably a 99% chance he starts
right
the season
now, somewhere
on
PUP.
Then they're not settled at safe.
My point is, maybe
that's
they have guys they like, and they're not going to spend a high draft pick on them.
No,
maybe they draft one in the third
round. Even
another James
okay.
Sanders type
that like
from
you.
Right. Somewhere that they get a heads up.
How about Hawkins?
Yeah, I think he's in the mix, but I still think you need that veteran established safety out there.
You can't get him in the draft.
Right, then you got to sign somebody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're not
going
to
get
a guy.
You're not going to sign.
I don't know.
Going to get a guy anywhere with more experience
than
Trell Hawkins.
Then the bottom line is they're unsettled at safety.
I think the best fit for the Patriots would be Dante Whitner, the safety from Ohio State. He can do everything. Blitz, play near the line. He's great in coverage, 4-3 speed. If you gave Belichick a guy like that, he could do a ton of things with
him. Is he like, you know, Sean Taylor?
That kind.
You know, yeah. Paul Amalu, Roy Williams. I know
he's
you
not,
don't love Roy Williams,
no, he's
but
not,
put your bias away for a second.
He's more the Sean Taylor than the Paul Amalu and Williams Hart. He's not like a... He's more of that Ed Reed
okay.
safety.
Okay, then I would I'd be interested in him. I don't like taking safeties in the first round unless
right.
they're these incredible playmaking
safeties.
That's the
safeties. One I think would fit in here.
But if they're like that, if he's like, I mean, Ed Reed, which, by the way, can I talk about a story that I heard yesterday? I was talking to a writer from Baltimore. I was doing the writer's mock draft. And he was telling me how bad the situation has gotten with Ray Lewis in Baltimore and he and Ed Reed used to be best friends. They no longer speak. And
You know why, I think? Well, are you going to tell me why?
Because of, well, basically because of the contract, that Ray Lewis is very jealous of Ed Reed's contract and whatnot.
When Ray Lewis was the big man on campus, it was okay.
Right.
When he wasn't anymore, he doesn't like Ed Reed.
Yeah. And he was telling me how...
Punk.
Bad guy.
Reed
bad
used
guy.
To have
Both
his locker right
too.
Next to Ray Lewis. He used to dress... I mean, they did. He just emulated him. It was like... You know, Lewis took him under his wing as the University of Miami guy, and, you know, they basically, Ed Reed idolized him, and now Ray Lewis wants nothing to do with him.
When he passed him up and became the better guy, the better,
the
player,
better
player, the better leader, people liked him more, all of a sudden, oh, I don't want any part of you. That's a small man right there. I think Ray Lewis is a small, he's a bully.
Mike says, also.
In the past, I'll continue to say, I wouldn't have taken him on my team in his prime. Never mind. No.
If the Patriots do skip out on the top four running backs, which I hope they do, who and at what point in the draft would be a good pick at running back for the Patriots?
Like we said, we like Norwood as the kind of last real running back. After that, we're thinking maybe of a Maurice Drew as a kick returner.
Well, he wants to know, what do you think about Dontrell Moore from New Mexico?
I like him. Andy doesn't.
I don't have my sheet in front of me. I don't remember what I said about him.
Okay. You didn't like him when you watched him on film, but he's a
I'm
guy.
Right.
More
he's
of these mock drafts seem to have these running backs slipping a little bit.
I never liked him.
Who knows? Maybe you get one of these quote-unquote, I mean, forget about Bush, but the other three. Maybe you get one of these other three in, you know, in the second round. I mean,
of them I don't want.
That would be quite a slip, but.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen on draft day.
Maybe I would want him in
round. Listen, Steven Jackson slipped almost out of the
You wouldn't
round.
Want a guy like Maroney or Williams in the second round?
No, the guy I was talking about was White.
Huh.
I'm not sure how much I want him, but second round, I'd probably say...
You have to
now you're talking, about, now you're talking value.
Yeah. I still have my fears that he's going to be out of the league in 3 years and be a fat guy sitting on the corner.
Two-timer says, Tom Casale, Antonio Cromartie would normally be a stretch at 16, except for the fact that Saban heavily recruited him while he was a coach at LSU.
No, I just think
but
that
if
makes
you get
him,
him
not a stretch.
But if
he
can get him at 32 instead of
started one freaking game in his college career.
And
he has an injury concern.
And don't get me wrong, he's on my risers at the defensive back position. I just think middle first round
is high.
You're talking Ty Hill from Clemson is probably still on the board at that point. You're talking Whitner, the safety from Ohio State. So if they go defensive back, I think there's some better options there than Cromartie.
Scott says, on draft day, the guy at the podium says, and with the 21st pick, the New England Patriots select Leonard Pope, tight end, Georgia. Your reaction would be?
I resign.
The laugh.
I would be stunned.
I would be, too. I'd be
I'd
stupid.
Laugh.
Oh, he's a big dude.
Let's see. I hope PFW does that mock draft contest again this year. If you're doing it, I hope it's on Patriots.com. I think those contests are great and one of the few times readers and listeners can top the experts.
PFWonline.com it'll be at, right?
I guess.
I don't know anything about
the way
this.
We do it.
But they are doing it. It's in this issue.
Yes.
It's in this issue and the link will be up very shortly.
And we'd prefer you do it online.
Okay.
And we also...
Then it corrects itself, and we don't have to do it by hand.
But also, it's...
One
it's
we
in
put
your,
in the paper?
Well, so they get up until draft day to do theirs. We had to do ours a month in advance.
No, they...
They're also better
Friday
off
before
waiting.
Draft, yeah.
They're also better off waiting as long as possible.
Right.
Before they send it in, because you get more... The more information you get, if a trade happens or whatever.
That's what I wanted to... You know, they brought up the running back slipping and the uncertainty in the top picks in this year. Some of that has... There have been so many big moves in the offseason, in free agency, and Culpepper and
Breeze
and Edgerrin James.
Draft.
And, I mean, that has really kind of jarbled things up. You know, even coaching changes.
Jarbled. It's really jarbled.
Jarbled.
I hate you all.
It's a surprise.
Eli gives us a report from Kansas City. He says he lives there. And he's watched Warfield get abused like the redheaded stepchild at times. They have been games when his play was looked almost all pro quality. The start of 2003, he had a great season, and then the production fell off. I think a lot of it is between the ears. I ran into him several times, and I can say he's a hell of a nice guy, but we listened to him lament about the media and the way they talked about him. He also talked about his history in football, and him playing safety his whole life in the switch to corner was a little rough. With that said... He's good at run support and likes to hit, makes solid tackles. Do you see him being moved back to safety?
He said it was a possibility.
He did say that. I read that.
It's interesting.
Yeah, you never know with Bill Belichick.
So maybe the safety position is settled.
And two-timer, we'll close it out. He says the latest rumor is that Favre wants to play another year, but only for a caliber playoff caliber team. It's quite possible that he goes to Tampa Bay and plays for Gruden again.
No, but either you're playing for me or you're not playing for me. Give me an answer now and get the bleep out of my office.
I agree. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Remember, you can subscribe either on Patriots.com or iTunes. We'll see you next Wednesday. That's it.